Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, September 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, on Monday, Delaware State Police and the FBI announced more than 24 arrests in connection with a crackdown on a major drug organization operating in the state. The 28 defendants are now charged with 252 felonies, including criminal racketeering, conspiracy, drug dealing, and more. Law enforcement officials say the organization was run by Luis Renteria, who has properties in Delaware and Philadelphia. Officers executed 31 search warrants during their investigation, which began back in February of 2018. They recovered at least $5 million worth of heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl.
Wow.
Included in these results was the largest fentanyl seizure by Delaware law enforcement in the state's history, making a major dent in the supply of fentanyl that would have been distributed on the streets in Delaware and surrounding areas, said Jennifer Boone, special agent in charge of the FBI's Baltimore field office. Alone, the quantity of fentanyl seized could have killed thousands and thousands of people. Authorities say they seized enough fentanyl to kill 3/4 of the state's population. It was enough fentanyl to kill 750,000 Delawareans.
I don't understand the reasoning, and maybe it's not the reasoning, but the behind fentanyl. Like, you're killing off your clientele. Do you know what I mean? Like, the more you lace it, the more likely your clientele is to die off.
Yeah.
Unless
there should
be
fentanyl light.
Right.
Fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that's so potent it has surpassed heroin as the leading cause of overdoses.
It's incredible.
Authorities say the Renteria drug organization tentacles stretched across the country, including an alleged stash house in Philadelphia. Sources say that the supplies were found in numerous states, including California, Pennsylvania, and Florida. Multiple weapons were also recovered. He faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted. The investigation is ongoing, but officials said Monday this effectively amounts to the dismantling of a major drug organization that terrorized the city of Wilmington.
Isn't the thing, though, Case, and you'd mentioned this before, that with fentanyl, it doesn't matter. Like, they'll see, like, junkies will see somebody get OD on something.
And they'll flock to where they got it.
Oh, that must be good stuff.
Yeah, they'll flock to wherever that they got that stuff. Yep.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
The search for a missing paraglider in Chester County is set to resume in a few hours. A large search effort from the air and on the ground near a wooded area in Callan Township was underway Monday night for a possible downed paraglider. Crews began to search about 8 o'clock last night in the 200 block of Reeseville Road. According to the Chester County Department of Emergency Services, emergency crews searched for the missing person in the area of the Brandywine Hospital. So far, no one has been found. Crews scoured the dark wooded area and nearby field with flashlights Monday night. The searchers suspended their search at about 1:30 in the morning, saying conditions were too dark to continue in the thick wooded area. They plan to regroup and continue to search this morning at 9 a.m.
So, Kath, I guess someone knew of someone who went out paragliding and reported that they didn't return?
There must have been some sort of report because they said that it was actual paraglide was a dark colored, so like they knew that they were looking for a dark color. So there had to have been some sort of report.
I wasn't sure if it was somebody saw one go down or somebody knew somebody was out paragliding and haven't heard from them.
Or they were overdue, yeah.
Yeah, because that would, then you'd be like, where the hell do we start looking, you know?
Are we talking a motorized vehicle?
Yes. Yeah, right, paragliders, so I believe so.
Right, like a hang glider with an engine.
Essentially.
Right, yeah. Chuck sees one of those guys like every morning right outside of here. I'm surprised we haven't seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm surprised because I guess maybe he leaves from.
That's
like
Bill Weston.
Oh, my God.
The Belmont Plateau.
I can see my home.
You look like ants from up here.
Do you see a lot of them, Case?
No, I didn't see any. Yeah. Chuck did.
How high up do they go?
Pretty high up. I mean, when he comes in here, he'll show you a picture he took. I mean, but he had seen the guy setting up many, many times and then finally saw the guy in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the mechanized.
Right.
Looks like a giant, you know, really wide parachute. And then they have a mechanism behind him that propels him. I think that in some areas you can do it without that, you know, like when you're going off mountain ranges and things along those lines.
I've always sort of all of those things, and I check my, you know, a comfortability level with those. The powered ones always seem to be like, oh, I could maybe do that.
That's the one my dad did in Colorado last year.
He didn't tell your mom about, right?
That he didn't tell my mom. Right. Yeah, he wanted to go out and do something cool for himself, and so he went paragliding. But, Casey, if you're flying around in the city in one of those bad boys, do you have to register with the FAA or anything like that?
I bet you there's places you can't go. There's restricted flying areas, even if
he's just going over the plateau. Like, he's just doing that general area over there.
I just think, like, helicopters might be in the same path as you at some point. But, yeah.
Yeah, I know that the ones, Steve, sometimes they can hit these things called thermals, and they can shoot way up high.
Yeah, you got to know you
really get out of control. But, I'm looking for the altitudes, Kath. I don't see anything exactly.
How high
apparently you can go pretty damn high. So
a dive team will also be brought in to search a lake in the area. Anyone with information is asked to contact 911. Governor Tom Wolf will go through with a veto of a bill that would give school districts the sole ability to make decisions on sports, including whether and how many spectators to allow, he said Monday. The Wolf administration's gathering limits of 25 people indoors and 250 people outdoors applies to youth sports, but legislation that cleared the State House and Senate would empower schools to make their own rules about the number of spectators permitted at games. Some families are irritated at the statewide limit, saying attendance could safely be expanded while still allowing for adequate physical distancing. Wolf said at a news conference that statewide gathering limits need to be applied consistently to prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
What about Little League sports? I see them happening all the time. Lacrosse practice, soccer practice.
That's not PIAA.
Yeah.
Those are leagues.
Yeah.
So these are schools governed
by. I understand that,
also,
but like.
This is also spectators. They're talking about spectators. So sports are allowed to happen, but he's talking about people coming to watch the games.
Okay.
Yeah, so like in our school district, they're going to have the season, but you can't. Nobody's going to the games.
Okay.
Except they might do like a senior night thing where just the seniors' parents can come for one night and that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania reported more than 150,000 confirmed virus infections and 8,000 deaths attributed to COVID-19. Wolf planned to veto the bill Monday, the last day he can do so before it automatically becomes law. The legislation would give a school district or private school sole authority to decide whether to conduct sports during the 2020-21 school year, including games, scrimmages, and other in-person extracurricular activities. It also gives them the power to determine safety protocols and crowd limits. In sports this morning... Bryce Harper was hitless in his return from back stiffness, and the Phillies lost 5-1 to the Nationals last night in Washington.
What the fuck is this?
Phillies manager Joe Girardi was ejected in the third inning for arguing on center fielder Roman Quinn's behalf after Quinn was ejected for arguing balls and strikes with the home plate umpire. The loss dropped the Phillies back to .500 and hurt their playoff hopes. Harper said he'll play in the outfield for one game of today's doubleheader and be the designated hitter for the other. The third-place Phils, who are trying to make it to the postseason for the first time since 2011, have six games left and dropped behind Cincinnati in the National League wildcard race. Aaron Nola gets the start in Game 1 this afternoon, and the first pitch is scheduled for 3:05. In Monday Night Football, Derek Carr threw three touchdown passes, and the Las Vegas Raiders gave their new fans plenty to celebrate by beating the Saints 34-24. The new $2 billion Stadium in the desert held its first event following the Raiders' move from Oakland without any fans because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The NBA playoffs continue tonight with the LA Lakers. They'll look to go up 3-0 over the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Tip-off is set for 9 o'clock. And in the Stanley Cup Finals, the Tampa Bay Lightning scored 3 goals on 4 shots in less than 4 minutes in the first period and held on to win Game 2 over the Dallas Stars 3-2. The series is now tied at 1 game apiece, and Game 3 is tomorrow night in Edmonton. And that is what I have for you this morning.
All right, Kathy Romano, thank you very much. And once again, welcome to Tuesday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. If you're just getting up and moving, we should see some sunlight. So I'm seeing a little bit of twilight as we begin our day. It's going to be sunny today. Like I said, 73 the high, so just a little bit warmer. And then we'll hit 81 tomorrow, and we're going to be around 80 degrees all the way in through the weekend. So it's going to be nice.
That is very nice.
Otherwise, we'll be in on our first day of fall. We have some guests on the program today. We will have the head coach of the Philadelphia Union, Mr. Jim Curtin, on the program. They are currently in second place in the conference. They're playing Cincinnati tomorrow night. And we found out something interesting about Jim, who grew up in the area, and his connection to the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him about that later on this morning. And we also have joining us Matthew Modine. He will be on the show to talk about Full Metal Jacket. They are, that's him, by the way. Yeah, they are releasing it on 4K Ultra HD. And so he's talking about it, which is fantastic. It's a masterpiece.
Absolutely.
Outstanding film. He's great at it. And, of course, we'll have to touch on some other points in his career, like Vision Quest.
I think the last time he was on to discuss the release of Vision Quest.
It might have been.
On 4K, because I had notes for that. Yeah.
And we got to talk Stranger Things. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about with Mr. Modine, so we'll do that later on today. Keeping in mind a Tuesday tradition, we have a chance for you on a free tattoo. Man, the gal who a gal who won recently, did you see the picture of the tattoo she got?
I did not.
From Floating World Tattoo Piercing, a $350 gift certificate apparently goes really far. Yeah. It's huge.
Really?
It's like her entire shoulder down her bicep.
Wow.
And it is a gorgeous piece of artwork. Yeah.
Huh. It's beautiful. Email you?
I thought maybe I didn't check to see who all was CC'd on it. I thought you guys got it too, but I'll see if I can find it because it was impressive. So you can get yourself a pretty fancy schmancy tattoo. It'll look really snazzy.
Snazzy. That's a humdinger of a tattoo. Where'd you get that, son?
So all you have to do is text the word tattoo to 39333, and
wow,
you'll be in the running for it. At some point this morning, we'll draw the winner and get a $350 gift certificate to you. Keep in mind, it has to be a President Steve themed tattoo. And if you want to see some of the work of Floating World Tattoos, go to floatingworldtattoos.com and check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. And of course, they're located at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia.
Check them over. I wanted to get a cover over job done on my Gossip Girls tattoo on my back.
Okay.
No.
It's about time.
Yeah, man.
No, it's about time. It's looking.
It looks
bleeding.
Ratty.
Yeah. You need to get a new one. All right, so we have these things and more taking place. We hope that you'll hang. One more thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The $1,000 we have today on Thursday, and that is in conjunction with the new TV show on Fox 29 called I Can See Your Voice. And I tell you what, after the next segment, because I think that's around when we did it yesterday, I will give you the second question you'll need to answer on Thursday. There are three questions total. We gave away one yesterday. We're going to give away one today. And then one more tomorrow, and then you watch the show tomorrow night. Thursday morning, we'll ask you to answer the three questions. The person who does it correctly wins $1,000. How about
that?
All right, so we're going to take a break, come back in a second, get into all of it. The Entertainment Report and Stupid Question are coming up next.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question this morning concerns hatching birds.
Hatching birds. Well, that's near and dear to our hearts.
It's very near and dear to our heart. And Kathy's got a follow-up story on her chicks. But we have a stupid question, and it's a family a prize, a family four-pack of tickets to Adventure Aquarium. And the question I have for you is, what color are flamingos when they hatch out of the egg? 215-263 WMMR. What color are flamingos when they hatch out of the egg? Let's see if you know the answer. I'll go through some birthdays. Today is September 22nd. Andrea Bocelli, the singer, is 62. He's blind, correct?
He is blind.
Yes.
Yes.
Opera singer.
And he climbed a mountain.
That was the gay guy.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
What's that? What's the hit? There was a hit of his that became a monster hit across pop radio. Do you remember that? What was that song?
I know what you're talking about, and I for the life of me.
Got an Italian name.
Do not remember it. It's a Spugazzi Zugatini. That's what it is.
Fazagaboo.
I thought it was beefaroni.
Yeah. That too.
It's
that's what it translates. It translates to beefaroni.
How much do I love beefaroni?
Spugazzi
Zugatini.
He celebrates his 62nd birthday today. Joan Jett.
Yes.
Turns 62 years old, same as Andrea Bocelli.
We spoke to her a year or two ago, and it was right before it was when the MMRBQ was happening.
She's great.
Yeah, she was great.
She's worthy of her legend.
Yeah, it was a cool conversation with her.
And the documentary that came out about her is awesome.
Is she from Long Island? I don't know what part of New York she's from.
She's from New York, yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. She's got that accent.
Got it, yeah.
She's got that tough chick accent. But great musician, 62 years old today. Debbie Boone, Pat Boone's daughter.
You Light Up My Life.
Had a huge, huge hit with that song. It dominated in the late 70s.
The movie star Dee Dee Khan.
Does
she sing the song in the movie?
No.
It's just a theme song.
Definitely Debbie Boone's. Yeah. She is 64 today. Sherry Belafonte, daughter of Harry Belafonte. It's everybody's daughter's birthday today. I always thought she was pretty stunning.
Yes.
She is an actress and 66 years old today. Bonnie Hunt, also an actress and a talk show host.
Very talented, very funny. She's in the original Jumanji.
She's in the original Jumanji.
Yeah, she is the girl. She's Robin Williams'
daughter?
Well, she's the adult.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
You'd recognize her.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know who she is. I just don't remember in that movie.
Yeah.
Was she also in, I think she was in The Green Mile. Didn't she play the wife?
The mouse?
No, not the mouse.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Mr. Jingles.
She was the sick wife.
Yeah.
No.
No, not the sick wife. She was Tom Hanks's wife.
Yes.
It's like, honey, we haven't done it four times since we were in our 20s.
He cleans up his groin area.
Mm-hmm. So, I love, John Coffey goes to him after he comes back from that, and he goes, was your missus please? He goes, several times. Bonnie Hunt is 59. Tommy Lasorda.
I hate Tommy Lasorda.
He is 93 years old
today. My God.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What the hell's he up to?
I don't know. He's
being cranky somewhere.
Not sure where he lives or what he does with his time, but he's 93 today. David Coverdale.
Wow, man.
Whitesnake.
Let's get real.
Celebrates his 69th birthday today. When this album came out, I was a huge, huge fan of Whitesnake because they had taken this this kind of, it wasn't full glam metal, but it was pretty damn close to it, and they even brushed it up even more. It was when digital recording had started to really surface, and the production of the sound of this band was a lot bigger than anything I'd heard before. So
I had been unaware, though, that Coverdale and a lot of these other guys in this band had a lengthy history, and that this was actually later in their careers.
It was.
Yeah.
So some of the songs that were on this album were actually on their on a previous album before, from what I understand. There were some songs from that first album that I loved. It's been so long since I've delved deep into Whitesnake.
Is it Slide It In or
Slide It In?
What's
that
about?
Slide it in to the top. Slide it in. I ain't never gonna stop.
Slide it in.
Oh, do you have it right there, Case?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Play just a little bit.
All right, here you go.
We used to play this back in the Image, man. This is a good tune. You do not hear it on the radio at all anymore. You gotta throw a guitar in there for sure, yeah.
You talk too much. Never say what's on your mind. It's fresh.
Yes.
In the world you hide behind.
Alright, I'm gonna have to go listen.
It's about a ring of contra, right?
Yeah, exactly. Alright, wait. We're gonna get to the chorus here. Two, three, four.
Into cars.
He is 69 today. Tony Basil Basil, however you'd like to say her name. She is 77 years old today. Tony Basil, right?
Yeah, go with that.
Yeah.
She was a choreographer.
She was.
She was kind of a sex bot in the 60s.
Yeah.
She's in a couple different movies. She choreographed this song.
And Mickey is a song that doesn't die.
No.
She's 77 today.
This video also features the largest cheerleaders ever captured on film.
Tom Felton, who played Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter films.
He's good.
33 today. Yeah. Supposed to be a really nice guy, despite playing a real evil bastard, from what I understand. And then the last birthday today, her name is Ty Babilonia.
Oh, yeah.
But I will forever know her as Tina Babilina.
Tina Babilina.
She was in her shoes. She was a figure skater in the 76 and 80 Olympics. And her and Randy Gardner did the pairs skating. And I thought her name was Tina Babilina. Hey, Tina Beverly.
Tina, it's such an honor to meet you.
They came in with Kathy Rigby, right?
They did.
Yeah.
And she was awesome.
That was pretty cool. So, Tina Babilina.
Tina Babilina, right here in our studio. If anyone had told me.
61 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. What color are flamingos when they hatch in the egg? 215-263-WMMR is the number, and I will go to Kevin. Hey, Kev, good morning.
My turn, QVC down. I'm going on the radio.
Yeah! All right, give it to us loud and proud, Kevin. What color are flamingos when they hatch in the egg?
They're gray,
yep. One moment, Kev.
And then they become that beautiful color.
We're going to set you up with a family four-pack tickets to Adventure Aquarium. Open daily. Reservations are required. You can visit AdventureAquarium.com for more information. All right.
Kathy, does that zoo have flamingo eggs?
You know what? I don't think they farm?
Okay.
They don't have flamingo eggs, no.
We are going to begin with Ellen DeGeneres. Yesterday, everybody was hunkered around screens watching her issue her opening monologue and her apology and all that stuff. She returned yesterday with the first episode since she and her show were investigated by Warner Brothers for allowing a toxic work environment to fester. Charges include sexual harassment, racism, and bullying. Three executive producers have been fired. So where do we kick off here? With the apology?
Yeah, give the apology.
Right, because she starts off by saying, if you're watching because you love me, thank you. If you're watching because you don't love me, welcome. How was everybody's summer? Good? Yeah, mine was great. Terrific. I'm so happy to be back in the studio. There are a lot of things I want to talk about, and I've been looking forward to addressing it all directly, and unfortunately talking directly to people has been illegal for 6 months. So she did pepper it with some light stuff, but
she did.
This is the crux of it. Here we go.
As you may have heard, this summer there were allegations of a toxic work environment at our show, and then there was an investigation. I learned that things happened here that never should have happened. I take that very seriously, and I want to say I am so sorry to the people who were affected. I know that I'm in a position of privilege and power, and I realize that with that comes responsibility, and I take responsibility for what happens at my show. We have had a lot of conversations over the last few weeks about the show, our workplace, and what we want for the future. We have made the necessary changes, and today we are starting a new chapter.
Okay. And then she chatted a little bit more. Went on for a little while, obviously, but talking about her own behavior.
Right, her culpability.
Yep, here we go.
There were also articles in the press and on social media that said that I am not who I appear to be on TV because I became known as the Be Kind Lady. The truth is, I am that person that you see on TV. I am also a lot of other things. Sometimes I get sad. I get mad. I get anxious. I get frustrated. I get impatient. And I am working on all of that. I am a work in progress.
So, you know, she's speaking up. And she ever address directly, you know, the people who were hurt or
not specifically, okay. But she did go into separate categories of the apology, trying to address everything. And in that particular thing, she said, she explained how she became known as the Be Kind Lady. And she said, but she said, I wouldn't wish that on anybody to have that moniker because then you're anytime you veer from that in the public eye, you're immediately thought, oh, that it's just a lie. It's just a put on.
Yeah, you're held to that standard all the time.
And I just thought it was a pretty candid thing. And the way she relayed it was pretty well done.
It was the story was just that she started to say be kind to one another because there was, a gay guy who had committed suicide after being bullied.
I remember
and
that.
And so that story really touched her. And she was just saying, she started by just telling people, be kind, you know,
and
don't don't let this happen again.
I remember she got a whole bunch of blowback because she was sitting in the at some sporting event with Bush, you know, former President Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were friendly. And then she's like, you know, I take people on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
The show's premiere included an interview with Tiffany Haddish this week. We'll also see appearances from Kerry Washington, Alec Baldwin, Super M, and Kris Jenner as well.
I don't know Super M. But
Super M, yes.
They did an interesting thing, and I was trying to figure out how they did it or whether it was just an optical illusion. But the audience appeared to be large vertical screens of audience members watching the show.
Oh, yeah.
And they were getting a pretty robust audience response from them. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it with Nick. It looked pretty cool, the screens. Yeah. Super M, by the way, is a South Korean supergroup.
Okay. Ain't no BTS.
Hey, man, there's room for all K-pop in there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm more into the girl group K-pop stuff now.
So she's off and running. You know, I don't know what the public's response is to that, but we will find out. So we'll see. I have some other stories. We're going to start with a guy who's here in our studio. Hapfor Julius Bjornsson.
Yes,
The Mountain on Game of Thrones is hoping for good news as he awaits the birth of his son. He shared that he is finishing up a quarantine after coming into contact with someone who had COVID. He wrote on Instagram, "If I'm positive, it will mean a further 14-day quarantine. Unfortunately, this means there is a chance that I will miss the birth of my son and unable to be beside my wife to support her as she gives birth and welcomes him to the world."
So if you see any pictures or footage of him with his wife is so tiny.
Really?
I don't know how he banged her without killing her.
He's one of the biggest people in the world. I mean he's just, Preston, he's massive.
It looks ludicrous. So you would just... look at here's a picture. And she's in heels here.
Wow. Yeah.
How does he not split her in half?
I know.
She is little.
She's like a snake that eats bigger, you know, and it takes on the shape of whatever it's eating.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's this huge lump inside for a while.
Jeez.
He was a super nice guy when he came by.
He's great. Yeah. You have a great picture of him.
Yeah, he was beheading me.
Yeah.
He had a sword, and I was bent over on a chair, and he was swinging the sword at my head.
They say that they're doing a docuseries on television, a Ruth Bader Ginsburg series, and they're saying he's in the lead to play her.
Wow, he's a talent.
Yeah.
Chris Rock, we touched on this yesterday, was diagnosed at age 55 with a learning disorder that makes it tough for him to pick up on nonverbal cues. And he tells Hollywood Reporter that the issue may be partially to blame for his split in 2016 from Malak Compton after 20 years of marriage.
I think I suggested that yesterday, that could affect relationships.
He said, "Anytime someone would respond to me in a negative way, I'd think, whatever, they're responding to something that has to do with who they think I am. But now I'm realizing it was me. A lot of it was me."
Yeah.
But he didn't pick up on that. So interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how, and we talked about it yesterday, how we hear things, how we perceive things, and your truth is, you know, your reality.
Yeah. Denise Richards is opening up after news broke that she will not return to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
No!
She said, "I had a great first season. The second season was challenging." She was on The Real on Monday to talk about this.
That's my other favorite show.
She said, "I just thought that it was the right time for me to go and just keep focusing on the other projects that I have. I had a great time. I will always be a fan, and I will continue to support the show."
Why don't you take care of our freaking kids?
She also said she'd consider returning to reality TV. I guess she was asked about it. She said, "Absolutely." Oh, no, she said she would. "Absolutely never say never. So I love that things have changed," she says.
Okay.
I don't know what
that means.
It's
totally cryptic. She was sending code to someone.
I guess so.
You know what? I've gone back and forth on Denise Richards throughout my life. I kind of really like her now.
Okay.
But I still cannot stand these Real Housewives shows.
No, yeah. I hate them. Can't stand them. As his ex, Christina Anstead, shares the news that she and her husband, Ant, are splitting after a year after welcoming their son, Hudson. Tarek El Moussa had posted about his fabulous life. The Flipping 101 host wrote of his dream life with Selling Sunset star and fiancée Heather Rae Young. He said, "I'm just so excited about life. I'm in love. I'm engaged. Flipping 101 is on the air, and Flipper Flop is on the way.
It couldn't get any better.
He said, I'm telling you, it's possible to accomplish those things you've been dreaming of. I dreamed of this life, and I got it by believing I could do it and working my tail off. If there's something you want, just go for it. I'm yelling at you to chase your dreams.
No, he's yelling at, like, over to his wife, like,
I did it. Yeah, and you lose.
There's a reason why I didn't really care for Flipper Flop, and it was because I didn't like them as a couple. I watch
really?
A lot. Wasn't
the whole thing predicated on their coupleness, though?
No, not really, man. So I watch all these other shows, right? And the reason they work is because the relationship of the people, like Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines. I mean, come on. They're the best loving
what about,
couple.
Pump and Dump?
Pump and Dump is not, no. But Hometown, you know, with the couple down there in Mississippi, it's like, oh, my God, they're the best, you know?
Right, right.
The Brothers, you know, for that other show. And the Love It or List It. They're not romantically involved, so that works. There's another one where the mother and the daughter, like, oh, you know, like, so...
So you think if they're romantically involved, it's less likely to be a pleasant show to watch?
No. I'm just... I didn't buy
you
their...
Didn't buy their love.
I didn't buy their relationship.
Clearly they weren't in love, right?
Yeah. Nick, whose Instagram account are you looking at?
This is the fiancé where he's living his best life, Tarek. What his name is?
Masao, or however you say his last name. Okay. Here's the second stunningly gorgeous woman that he's about to be married
Heather
to.
Heather Rae Young is his fiancé.
His future ex-wife?
Casey, I mean... I hate to be that cynical, but I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, they're both Instagram people, and they're both reality TV people. And
2 years.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, give it 2 years, and then he'll go on and date someone else from the... but eventually, you run out of shows, right? And then you have to move over to another network.
Yeah, you got to go to another network.
right,
over to TLC.
Right.
Yeah. If you're done.
No, listen, they'll find somebody else.
I'm currently dating Bravo.
Yeah. That they'll be able to make... I want to do a show... with Chuck D'Amico, because he's the actual one who knows how to, like, fix houses. And I want to call it Bros Before Homes, right? And it's all about, like, guys that buy houses together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you like, totally bro it out, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
What does bro it out mean?
You know, instead of, like, you know, a cute little...
okay, all right, so make it very masculine. Okay?
Masculine, yeah, like, you know,
like a bazooka rack.
Bazooka rack. I
stuff
love that.
Like that, yeah.
Yes. Well, all right, I need you.
And then not be able to sell it.
Yeah. Like your house, Preston, when you're trading spaces, put the put the shrapnel wall in your kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you see, Kath, I wouldn't make it so bro-y that people would be like, you know, wouldn't be able to resell it. It would
be
something that you could completely and totally resell.
I mean, like, even, you know,
bazooka
even
rack.
Ted Nugent wouldn't buy the house with the bazooka rack.
That's where you put your bazookas, bro.
All right. Bros Before
Bros
Homes.
Before Homes.
Before Homes.
Yeah.
All right. Wendy Williams returned to her talk show on Monday.
I'm back.
Showing off a 25-pound weight loss. She said, food became disgusting to me.
Right.
She said, well, I wish I had that.
I made sure that every time I ate in front of the mirror.
She said, I was cooking at first, and it was all good. I was shoveling stuff in my mouth.
And I have a huge mouth.
She does. But then, when she knew she was headed to the doctor's office, and she lost even more weight than she thought, she said, I haven't weighed this little since high school, she recalled. I feel really good, but I'm just alone in my romance. I'm looking at a picture of her yesterday. She doesn't look like she lost a lot of weight to me.
No, but she's huge.
She's also wearing a big dress. So.
I mean, she's just a big woman. She's just structurally a big woman. Or she presents big on her show.
Yeah, how big is she?
Why is she wearing those shoes with that outfit?
Yeah,
because I love them. They're comfortable.
Sneakers, but...
How you doing?
She's only 5'10".
Only?
Well, she's
for
5'10".
A woman, that's pretty damn tall.
In which direction?
But, yeah, I mean, she's not like the mountain.
Right.
Well, most women aren't.
I think what happened
is above average. For
okay.
She lost weight because of the stress of the divorce and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So she said, I feel really good, but I'm just alone in my new romance. She had finalized her divorce from Kevin Hunter at the beginning of the year. Yeah. We have a few deaths to report. We're going to start with this one. Jackie Stallone, the mother of Sylvester
and Frank, and one of the most memorable contestants on Celebrity Big Brother, has died. She was 98 years old.
I wasn't even aware she was still alive, Preston.
Yeah.
I mean, she, so she, in there was a point in time where she was a star, or at least a quasi-celebrity.
It must have been off my radar, but reading up on her, you're right, Steve.
Yeah.
So the larger-than-life character, who is known as an astrologer and wrestling promoter.
That's right.
Died in her sleep as she wished, said her youngest son, Frank. He said it was hard not to like her. She was a very eccentric and flamboyant person.
I remember she hated Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, really?
Hated Brigitte Nielsen. Like, and Stallone would relay how she, don't marry her, and he did anyway. Okay. Yeah, but she was she would always wear these loud sort of, bandanas and all this sort of stuff, and she was very, very flamboyant. But he loved the hell out of her.
So she worked as a trapeze artist for 2 years before taking a job as a chorus girl on Broadway. Stallone married her first husband, Frank Stallone Sr., a hairdresser and occasional actor, in 1945. They remained together for 12 years and had two sons, Sylvester and Frank. And she also had a daughter, Toni D'Alto, during her second marriage to Anthony Felitti.
So Stallone has as a sister?
Yeah, no, she died. In 2012. She was 48 years old.
Okay, yeah, I never heard about
lung cancer. Yeah. A longtime advocate for women's fitness, she opened a female-only gym in the 1950s called Barbarella's. That's a great name for a gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And presented an exercise slot on local TV in Washington, D.C. in the 1980s. And she appeared on the wrestling program Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which helped women's wrestling become mainstream on television.
Okay. And she sort of had Sly's, well, obviously he had her facial features. So think of Stallone in makeup.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Jackie looked like.
She had an Instagram account, and she was still posting relatively recently exercise videos. And exercise, I mean, she, you know, she died at 98.
Can I borrow some of your rouge?
she stayed with it, Nick. Yeah. She wrote a book called Star Power, An Astrological Guide to Super Success, and started to make regular TV appearances as an astrologer and psychic. For a time, she ran her own psychic hotline, and
I remember that.
Also claimed to have invented the term rumpology.
Okay.
Which is the art of reading people's features, or reading their futures by reading the lines and crevices on their buttocks.
Yeah.
So she would read people's asses.
You're gonna take a dump.
She married her third husband, Stephen Devine, in 1998, although they lived 10 miles apart for the majority of their relationship. In 2005, she had a memorable stint in the UK's version of Celebrity Big Brother, entering the house as a surprise contestant. And her arrival, Steve, was a shock for her former daughter-in-law, Brigitte Nielsen.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Upon seeing Stallone, a stunned Nielsen exclaimed, "Oh, my God, Jackie." In response, Stallone, wearing a fur coat and sunglasses, deadpanned, "Yeah, Jackie." So it must have
been obviously orchestrated.
Stallone was still active in her 90s, practicing weightlifting and trapeze work while attempting to defy age with a series of plastic surgeries that she later came to regret.
Yeah.
She had said in an interview in Reveal magazine in 2013, she said, "I've got too much. I look like I've got a mouthful of nuts." And she said, "I feel like a chipmunk."
She was very candid, and that was cool. So she was the classic talk show character.
Her son Frank announced her death by posting a vintage headshot of Stallone from her acting days. And, of course, she is survived by her husband, Divine, her son Sylvester, and Frank, and six grandchildren. By the way, we got a text from somebody who says, "I was an extra on Creed 2."
Yeah.
And was told that Sly would call her every day. They had a break built in for it on the set for him to call his mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's,
well, that's sad, man. Yeah. Good run, though. Good
98
run.
98 and successful kids, a good life. So, good on her.
She did a good job.
All right, another death. Anglo-French actor Michael Lonsdale, who played the villain opposite Roger Moore's James Bond in the 1979 film Moonraker, has died. He was 89 years old.
He was a good character actor. He was in a couple of things.
Yeah, he was in a few things.
Yeah.
He played Hugo Drax, an industrialist planning to poison all humans on Earth and then repopulate the planet from his space station. It was one of the more than 200 roles he played in both English and French over a career that spanned six decades. His other notable film credits include The Day of the Jackal, Ronin, and he was also in Munich, the Steven Spielberg film. The official Twitter account of the late Sir Roger Moore described his character as a smooth-tongued and cultured adversary to 007.
How old was he?
He was 89.
Oh, again, another good run.
In an interview, Lonsdale was asked whether he had been concerned that playing a Bond villain might have a negative impact on his career. He said, on the contrary, because I made so many films that were not really very popular or didn't make much money, and I only made poor films, so I thought I might like to be in a rich film. So he didn't mind doing it at all.
And that was a huge budget Bond film that came out after Star Wars, and that's why they completely retooled the plot line.
Right.
The original plot for Moonraker took place during World War II. Not in space.
Now, speaking of space films, cartoonist turned production designer Ron Cobb, best known for coming up with the initial design for the DeLorean and Back to the Future, has died. He also had a hand in a ton of stuff. He was 83 years old. He unfortunately had Lewy body dementia and passed away in Sydney, Australia. He broke into the industry in 1956, working at Disney as a breakdown artist on Sleeping Beauty. That's how far back he goes. He did uncredited design work on the aliens in the cantina scene in 1977 Star Wars. Nick had sent me a link yesterday of one of the famous characters that he created, and it was known as, what was it known as?
The Hammerhead guy.
Hammerhead,
vagina
yeah.
face.
Not vagina face.
He didn't do vagina. I wish he
I was hoping.
Vagina face.
Hammerhead guy meet vagina face.
Oh, Hammerhead kind of looks like a wiener, though.
This is wiener head, the vagina face.
I guess.
Labia lips.
This
is butthole mouth. And this is nutsack chin.
They're all at the cantina.
They're all at the cantina. And we're all sharing a good time.
Yes, butthole mouth.
I mean, a Sarlacc basically is a butthole.
It does look like a. Well, anyhow, what they'd call a gaper.
Yes.
So
we know the guy that helps create that.
The Sarlacc.
Yeah, it's one of Giacchino's friends, Kirk Thatcher.
Thatcher.
Yeah, he worked on it. They built a giant sand pit out in the desert, and he was telling us about it when we were out there to visit a few years ago.
I forgot about that conversation.
Yeah, and so Casey, this guy helped invent the giant butthole in the desert.
Sand butthole.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, but this guy did the Hammerhead character and a few others as well, and he also, Steve, he designed the exterior of the Earthship Nostromo. And Ridley Scott's Alien.
I mean, amazing artist. That kind of work and that kind of versatility.
Yeah, he did the interior,
iconic stuff.
He did some of the interior sets for that as well. He also scored a production designer on Conan the Barbarian, and he is responsible for designing Conan's world. The armor, the architecture, the weapons.
It was
on
great.
That film as well. It was just on the other day. I stopped by and checked out a little bit of it. And then he met Steven Spielberg, who was working on Raiders of the Lost Ark at the time, and he had made some suggestions to Spielberg about that film, and Spielberg used some, and he was supposed to direct.
You should have somebody who's got like a vagina face.
He was supposed to direct a movie called Night Skies, which ultimately became E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, yeah.
Spielberg had overseen the rewrite and decided to direct the film himself, but Cobb ended up receiving financial compensation. He would have been the director of that movie.
On my planet, we have people that look like vaginas.
And he became the production designer on 1984's The Last Starfighter, and then he followed that up with the design for the DeLorean for Back to the Future.
So I just watched, over the weekend, The Last Starfighter.
Really?
I love that movie.
It's a fun movie.
It is fun. The effects are cheesy.
Yeah. But you know what?
It's some of the first CGI ever used in a movie.
The first, yeah. The first was for those spaceships. But there's like a scene present where they're going through, I guess it's like a cave and an asteroid. Mm. And it looks so weird that it looks cool. Like it's retro cool, you know?
Yeah. So sad news that he had passed away. Let me see here. Man, too much entertainment to report.
You're just brimming with entertainment.
Let's end with, hang on, I want to make
all
sure
vaginas.
That I don't miss anything here. I think I'll come back to this one a little bit later on because we have some clips to play for that. But one last thing. While many late stars were honored during the Emmys In Memoriam segment, Kelly Preston, Kobe Bryant, and Nick Cordero were overlooked. There's always,
every time.
And there's always some
every
big
time.
Ones, too.
Yes.
Always.
What a stupid mistake.
In the Grammys and the Oscars, the Emmys, all of them. Among those honored, though, were Regis Philbin, Naya Rivera, James Lipton, Jerry Stiller, Kirk Douglas, and Chadwick Boseman, just to name a few.
All right, so Emmys is for TV, right?
Emmys is for TV,
All right, so, but
Kelly Preston is a movie actress.
But she's done TV work.
She's probably done TV work, yeah.
Kobe Bryant is an NBA star, and Nick Cordero is a Broadway guy.
Right, yeah. But they've all done TV.
So they might, you know, see that the real tribute for Nick Cordero might be at the Tonys.
I just say include them all. You know what I mean? Like, if you add three more pictures, what's that going to do?
But I think they actually go with what union, believe it or not, what unions they're in.
No kidding.
I think that's it. I'm not sure, but Preston's right. There's always somebody who gets overlooked, especially people who die in proximity to the award show.
You just err on the side of, you know, just inclusion. Say,
yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, we're ready for clips. Let's get to them. We'll start with this. Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous.
Ooh.
Is a new animated series in the Jurassic Park universe that follows a group of teenagers who stay in an adventure camp near the infamous dinosaur park. You know, why not put a camp by the dinosaur park?
Absolutely. And make it for, like, handicapped children.
In this clip, showrunner Scott Kramer discusses fitting this series into the timeline of the previous films. Here we go.
We basically went over the movie Jurassic World as if it were the Zapruder film. Like, frame by frame, what doesn't make sense? Where can we insert our characters where we're not breaking continuity, but where we can intersect with the events of this film and also, wherever possible, give a nod to past films?
Shut the f*** up!
Jurassic Park World Camp Cretaceous is streaming now on Netflix.
One of the voice actors is Sean Giambrone from The Goldbergs.
Oh!
Adam Goldberg on the show.
Very nice.
Next clip. Explore new worlds and uncharted realms in the docuseries Cosmos, Possible Worlds. In this clip, host Neil deGrasse Tyson discusses continuing an important element from the show's predecessor.
A very important element in this is, if those who saw the 1980s incarnation of this, the first, you would remark of Carl Sagan's sort of fireside manner. Right. At no time were you saying, well, he's lecturing to me. It's odd that while you're in college, lecture is an okay thing. I got to go to my lecture. After college, don't lecture me.
Yeah. Cosmos Possible Worlds airs tonight at 8 on Fox. I will have to watch it. I liked Cosmos. It was great. And Carl Sagan was a genius. But you had to get past the delivery.
Billions of
he spoke.
Right.
When he would do these things.
I think the problem with this at this time is there are entire channels now that are all devoted to this. So you've got a ton. Over the weekend, I watched a number of great documentaries about, you know, this sort of stuff. And it's just great.
It's true. But this guy's so charismatic. He's great, yeah. And he's brilliant. And I will give him the lead.
You guys start watching the docuseries on the Challenger explosion? At all?
I got it earmarked to watch it.
It's
pretty
great.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's only 4 episodes, and I definitely want to see it.
Yep.
All right, and there you go. That's it in the Entertainment Report. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We got guests on the show, Jim Curtin, the Philadelphia Union head coach, and Matthew Modine will be joining us. And, you know what?
Oh!
Hold on. I promised I was going to do this.
All right, let me hit pause.
Stop the music.
All right, stop it.
You don't want to be labeled a liar.
So the new Fox 29 show, I Can See Your Voice, is on tomorrow night. And you have to answer 3 questions after the show Thursday morning in order to win $1,000.
Yeah.
And so I already gave you yesterday's question. We're rolling out the questions one at a time each day. So one yesterday, one today, and one tomorrow. If you missed yesterday's, sorry about that. The second question you need to write down is, which singer brags about being in a punk band? All right, write that down. Which singer brags about being in a punk band? And tomorrow Thursday morning, we will ask you to answer that question along with the third one that we'll give you tomorrow. Don't forget, I Can See Your Voice is on after The Masked Singer. The Masked Singer is on tomorrow night at 8. So make sure you follow that up with I Can See Your Voice, hosted by Kim Jung. We're going to take a break and be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Real quick before we dive into stuff, I do want to mention a real quick butt plug. A very, very tragic thing happened to a friend that we all here on the show know, a friend of ours named Shan. His former wife was murdered. These are the mother of his children was murdered. This horrible murder suicide thing. The relationship she was in at the time, he was killed, and it was the father of that guy had killed these two people and killed himself. Just absolutely tragic, horrible story.
There is a GoFundMe we have set up that they have set up, and we have promoted. It's on PrestonSteve.com. It's on the community section. If you can lend a hand, that would be wonderful.
Oh, man.
So please take a look. And obviously, our hearts go out to Shannon and his kids and everybody affected by this. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible story. And then there was another one I got, and this is from the LaPera family. This is from specifically, I don't see a name on here, but it says, hey, my dad, Tony, huge fan of your show for years. He was diagnosed with hairy cell leukemia and starts chemotherapy today at Lankenau Hospital. There's no cure, but it can be put into remission. So he's going to go in for treatments every other week for the next year or so. Nick, I don't know if you got this email or not. I'll make sure I get it to you.
Forward it on to me.
Says, my dad's been a Lower Merion firefighter with Penn Wynn Fire Company and Narberth Fire Company for over 40 years, and he works at the Gladwin Shell Station as a mechanic, where he plans to continue working until it becomes too difficult. And they're asking for donations for a GoFundMe campaign, so we will set that up on the website as well. Oh, here, no, Marissa says link is up on WMMR.com /event/Tony LaPera, so you'll be able to find that, Nick. And then a quick shout-out, if you don't mind, as well.
No problem.
This is from Denise Antonelli. It says, bless me, Father Presbo. It has been 6 years since my last shout out request. Can you grant a birthday shout out to my daughter and quarantine partner, Shay Bailey? Her birthday is April 19th, but any day, any time will work. Thanks to you and the President Steve team for keeping us entertained and laughing, especially in these uncertain times. So a shart, if you wouldn't mind, please. Thank you very much.
And I have a shard as well. I went to my dentist yesterday, Dr. Kate Cavanaugh, over at Media Smiles. I want to give a shard out, a special shard out to Jacob. Jacob is in second grade, and he is a huge fan of the show. He was doing virtual schooling. I guess his mom works at the office. So
okay.
He's a huge fan of the show. So he asked for a picture with me after I got done. By the way, no cavity club again.
Oh, nice.
And so I go to take a picture with this kid, and he just goes to take my picture. I was like, no, you got to be in the picture.
Right, right.
You know, so I did this with Jacob, and I told him I'd give him a juicy shard out.
All right, let's do it.
Because he heard two juicy shard outs yesterday, so he wanted this one.
Yeah!
That's for you.
So good. There you go. All right, and then I have a follow-up to a news story that Kathy had earlier this morning.
Is this breaking news?
Well, sort of.
Yeah, okay.
Breaking news.
Police and emergency crews spent a good portion of Monday night following up on reports of a missing paraglider.
Yeah, they were searching the woods. They had choppers up. They were looking for this guy.
The guy was at home in bed.
Oh, my God. He crashed into his own home?
He landed in his own home.
Wow. What are the odds?
The guy was at home safe in bed.
Oh, my God. Man. Like, how? I need to talk to them. Like, how did that happen?
Uh-huh.
Wait. All right. So, he wasn't reported missing because people didn't know who he was.
Case, I don't know the details.
So the specific, somehow...
Well, obviously he was if they
right.
were looking
what
for
him. What was the step-off point at which they thought that he was out paragliding and missing?
Yeah.
Here we go. They were searching, and they went till 1:30 in the morning. Conditions were too dark. Turns out the man phoned police early Tuesday morning saying he believed it was him they were searching for.
Oh, wow.
He said he landed, went home, turned off his phone, and went to bed. When he awoke to the news of a possible missing paraglider Tuesday morning, he contacted police.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah.
Hey, they're talking about me.
I'm not missing. I'm right here.
Oh, my God.
Have you guys ever, like, I called the 6 ABC news desk one time because, and it was a colder day, one of the giant high-rises in the city.
Was missing?
No. Oh. It was, like, emitting smoke.
Oh, okay.
And I was watching it, and it was basically just, you know, like, I don't know, vapor or whatever.
You don't know, though.
And I was looking at it. I was like, that does not look right. And
right.
So I called the news desk. I'm like...
They love when you do that, by the way. When you should be calling somebody that could take care of it.
Yeah, the fire department or 911.
Yeah.
Could you please credit me?
I'm glad I didn't...
Credit me. My name is Casey Foster. I'm on the Preston and Steve show. Make sure you mention our show and our times.
Could you imagine if I actually called the cops on, you know, for something like that?
I know.
You could call a non-emergency line.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, if you you're not making a prank phone call.
No,
I mean,
was not.
You were concerned a building was on fire.
So you could even say, "Look, I don't know if this is what I'm seeing, but this is what I think I'm seeing," and they'll take a look at it.
Hello, so, TMZ. Okay. I believe a local building is on fire.
Oh my God!
So the guy was in bed.
He was at home in bed.
Oh my God! Call us if you listen to us.
There's a caller that's coming up here. I don't know if this is him or not, right. But it would be hilarious if that was the case. So, no, it's not. Marissa's saying no.
It's the guy who was in that building that was smoking.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was and who had called, whether it was concerned friends because his phone was off or...
Well, I'm glad somebody, it ended this way, right?
Or somebody saw a paraglider and it looked like it was going to crash. I have no idea.
Well, I'm just glad he came forward before they started diving in that lake.
Again, I know. Yeah.
Were they going to go into a lake? Yes. They were going to search a lake.
I
missed that part of the story.
Nearby. Yeah, 9 a.m. they were starting to go back out and they were going to search a lake nearby.
We found a body. It's not him.
All right. Well, anyhow, maybe we can get this guy on sometime. All right. Anyway, I have come into a wealth of stories about food.
Food?
That means I got to put on
the hat of the connoisseur. That and is he correct. Is the connoisseur. He knows all the best food and all the best places to find that food. What can we learn today from the connoisseur?
All right. Well, we're actually going to start in Conshohocken.
Ooh, I love it there.
That's where Kathy gets all her food.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
This is a story.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this in a while. So this is a story. We'll let it play.
I love that.
This is a story that Kathy sent me.
It's a bizarre story.
A couple in Conshohocken, and the article was so long, I don't have the whole story here. But they are sculptors, and their names are Jim Victor and Marie Pelton, and they have in the past worked with chocolate and cheese and ice, but butter has brought them worldwide acclaim. Together, they have created large butter sculptures for agricultural shows and fairs all over the country, including most of the Pennsylvania farm shows since the mid-1990s. But this month, the couple unveiled the 52nd annual American Dairy Association Northeast Butter Sculpture at the virtual New York State Fair.
I saw this article in the Inquirer, and they had a picture of it. It's like, oh, my God.
It's crazy.
It is a long article. I read the whole thing because I found it fascinating. It turns out that they don't use butter that's consumable. So it's actually,
is that cheating?
It allows them to do it in a conscious way. So they're not taking away a food product. And then when they're done with it, they melt it down. They give it back to this company that ends up turning it into biofuel.
I assume the room has to be like super duper refrigerated.
I thought the same thing. It has to be like in the 60 to 65 degree range. These people are really talented artists, and they've just found their medium and found a way to make butter sculptures and sell them. And so they've done, like Preston said, they've done it for the farm show. For a number of years, but they've made chocolate sculptures. The guy has dabbled in ice cream, but Casey says to do ice cream sculptures, it has to be really, really cold. But for butter, 60 to 65 degrees.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why they put the Pittsburgh Steelers mascot in there.
Because they got commissioned by somebody out in Pittsburgh that wanted them to do it for a Pittsburgh thing.
Okay. Swoop is in there and Gritty, but I was just wondering.
So they did an 800-pound pandemic-themed piece, including children remote learning and masked milkman. That took them 10 days to create. So butter is not what they originally went to the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts for. They used marble, clay, and stone. Those have been the standard mediums. But now butter's their thing.
And butter put them on the map.
And they make a living out of it. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
But it's not butter. It's not. It's a
not
butter.
Not consumable butter.
Yeah, it's just not anything that you would ever put on a bagel.
Right. I guess it's from
and such.
Some of the elements that are in butter.
It's basically the leftover stuff that ends up at the bottom of the butter factory.
The bottom of the butter barrel.
That's it. That's the one. Hey, real quick. This is non-food related, but it is, since we're talking about art and getting some notoriety, I want to point out that our station photographer, Brian Miller of Chorus Photography,
has recently, some of his work is going to be put into the Smithsonian Institution.
Wow.
He was chosen. I don't know exactly what the display is called, but it has to do with the pandemic, and he took some pretty incredible photos, and he has been chosen. He and like 10 other photographers around the country have chosen to be a part of this.
That's pretty amazing.
So, yeah. So wow.
Is he going to be next to Fonzie's jacket?
I don't. He doesn't really even know which museum it's going to be in,
because
the Smithsonian is a group of museums. But he does amazing work. He's out of Phoenixville. You're crazy if you don't hire him for some time. He's real easy to work with. The best pictures from our Camp Out for Hunger come from him, and I want to congratulate him.
He took my favorite picture of all time of the giant water-filled condom falling on Nick's head.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Great shot.
Or you and Kathy on the bicycle. Wasn't
that one. Also, me doing a belly flop. He caught it just as my enormous gut was hitting the water.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, his timing is really good.
He does all our events.
Yeah.
And so his company is called Chorus Photography, and they're Phoenixville, and you can check out there. Their Instagram page is chorus_photography. So I just wanted to give him a little plug there.
He's also doing, and just to jump on top of that press, I apologize, but he's part of that headshot program that they're doing for people that are trying, a lot of people lost their jobs during the pandemic and the quarantine. And so if you need a headshot for your resume, get back there out there in the working force, he is part of this process that is giving free headshots. So if you can reach out
to across the country, they're doing it everywhere. Yep. A lot of photographers are doing it. It's really cool.
Excellent. All right. Let's see what else I have food related. We'll go with this one. I could have put this in the entertainment report, but this is food related. Mark Hamill and Patrick Stewart have sparked a new rivalry of sorts. The sci-fi legends appear in a handful of new ads for Uber Eats.
Right.
Therefore, it falls under the connoisseur territory. And they have created three commercials of the two of them together.
So it's the squaring off of the Star Wars and Star Trek universes.
Correct. So they are positioned as adversaries in these ads. And they're in an abandoned warehouse.
For some reason.
And they're across each other from this warehouse, and they're having words with each other.
As if they've shown up for a showdown.
Oh, and in fact, in one of them, Mark Hamill is holding a baseball bat, and Patrick Stewart has a cricket bat. Like, they're going to beat the hell out of each other. And we have some of the clips of them going back and forth. So here's one of them.
Tonight, I'll be eating a veggie cheeseburger on ciabatta. No tomatoes.
Tonight, I'll be eating four cheese tortellini with extra tomatoes.
Stewart, so it's come to this.
Thank you. Bravo.
Careful, Hamill. Daddy's not here to save you.
Oh, I am my daddy.
Come again?
You said Daddy's not here to save you.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm not sure I got that right.
Oh, my God. It's great. So they do three of them all together. So I would imagine that if this takes off, we'll either see more from these two, or they'll start pairing up others to do some riffs on that.
Have you used Uber Eats at all?
No.
Yeah. That's one I have not used.
No, I haven't used any of the food delivery services, but
Caviar absorbed. That's what I used. DoorDash, I think.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I tried them once. It was fine.
I use it all. I use Caviar all the time. But now the people that drop off your food are called Dashers.
Dashers?
Yes, your Dash will be there.
You know, a lot of the a lot of places where you can go and do like a mobile order, there's now an actual tab for like DoorDash and places like Uber Eats where you just click that. So like you order on their website.
Yep.
But then somebody will come and deliver it to you.
Yeah. And also you do the hands-free thing where they just leave it at the front door. It's like ninja food delivery.
Oh, I just go pick it up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and picked up dinner the other night, and I went to Redstone, and when you text them to tell them that you're there, you also put where you want the food. So like I said, front passenger seat. So they come out, they open your door, put it in the seat. Just you don't have to get out. You don't have to do anything. You just tell them where you want the food, and they put it there. It
and then cool. You can check. Tell me I look pretty.
Yeah, tell me I look pretty. And is there a cookie sundae in there?
I love it. All right, let's dive back in. And I have a couple of stories that relate to being hired
to go and test food out. I mean, who doesn't want to do that, man?
Mm-hmm.
A website based in Amsterdam is seeking a cheeseburger taster.
Okay, I'll do it.
To find the best burger in the U.S.
Cheeseburger, your burger of preference, Casey?
That is my favorite food. All right.
We should really send you over for this.
Yeah.
Oh, I want, you know what? And I'll send a little hello there to our friends at Shake Shack. I stopped by on my way home. I was starving, and yeah. I was like, I wonder if those guys are open or not. And sure enough, I did an order, and Shake Shack, King of Prussia Mall, and the gal who delivered my food, she's like, you have to give your name. Oh, she's like, oh, you're that Preston. I listen to you guys every morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she's like, it was on Friday. She's like, I hope you're having a better day today. Remember Friday?
Yes, it was
like,
a disaster.
I was struggling, so they're big fans right. over there, so thank you guys. But they said, this is a company called BonusFinder.com says, the winning applicant will get $500 and will have to grade burgers based on criteria, including patty texture, patty seasoning, bun softness, bun taste, complexity of flavors used.
Patty scalfia.
Relish and or sauce taste, cheese flavor and creaminess, for money, and quality of the ingredients.
That's a lot of parameters to deal with. Especially, so if you're dealing with a burger, then you deal with the cheese on top of the burger. So we sadly could not have the Burger Brawl this summer, which is one of the great experiences.
I loved judging that.
Yeah, Rob Wasserman and the whole thing. There's an art and a science to those things, and the perfect burger, the journey of looking for the perfect burger is half the joy.
It's so great.
Yeah. I recently came across a burger. It's this guy, I guess he has it's like a food truck, and he does like pop-ups
right.
in the area, and I missed his latest pop-up was like down the Jersey Shore, but like, a picture of a burger is probably the only food picture that makes me salivate.
You actually start to get
I'm like, oh my God, I need a burger.
Pavlovian
right now.
Response yep. to that. Yeah.
Yep.
You become a burger cuck.
There are burger joints in my life, that non-chain places, that I have actually considered taking a needless, way out of the way trip just to go have the burger again sometime.
Yeah.
For a few years when I was a little kid, we lived in South Carolina, a small town called Greenwood, South Carolina, and there was a burger joint called the Dixie there.
Yeah.
And we contested they had the best burgers in the world.
Really?
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I was a kid, but I would like to go back there and find out.
For that moment, for that time, for your experience, we used to go to a place. It was a kosher deli, believe it or not, after church. We'd go to this kosher deli, and they had the most phenomenal burgers, but you do remember, you wonder, A, would the place even be there, and B, would it be that I was just at that time?
You
said Greenwood?
Yeah.
Greenwood?
It's still there.
Okay.
I checked not that long ago. It's called the Dixie.
Yeah.
You're seeing how far away is it?
It's only a 14, just say 15-hour drive.
Yeah. So you go to Amsterdam and Preston, you go there.
But I wonder, because in that my lifespan, I've had a lot of great hamburgers and cheeseburgers, and I'm wondering, was it just then, you know? So I don't know.
Listen, I know and I understand your disdain for Jimmy Buffett, and I respectfully disagree with it. I like Buffett a lot, but the song Cheeseburger in Paradise hits home.
Great.
If you're out on the beach and you are going up to a burger joint and you get that Cheeseburger in Paradise, there's something about it coming off the beach, like the salt water in your hair or whatever. It's the tall, cold beer to go along with it. There's nothing quite like it.
I like mine with lettuce and tomato.
I like mine as well. French fried potatoes.
57 and French fried potato.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll do it just plain. You know, I don't mind putting things on it, but like just the taste of the burger and the cheese together. By the way, Preston, this just in, that 15-hour was, if you were avoiding highways, it's really only 10 and a half hours away. So
you could be back before the end of the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels that way.
Have you ever checked to see if the place is still in existence?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
there.
Yeah.
Yep, it's
do they
there.
Have the Preston burger? Now, do they know how famous you are?
But I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe someday. And we've talked about it before. You know, a ridiculous road trip you've taken.
Right.
Just to get a specific food item.
Yeah, yeah.
That might be one of those. Someday maybe I'll do that. But anyhow, this would be a great gig. $500 and you get to grit. Now, they will also, you'll receive the funds to travel to the places to test out the burgers. I mean, it's along the lines of divers, drive-ins, and dives.
So you're being...
Diver, right.
Yeah.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Yeah, and divers.
But you are just tasting cheeseburgers. So
they're sending you around Amsterdam to to...
No, no, no. They're in the U.S.
Oh.
Burgers in the U.S. It's an Amsterdam-based...
I got it.
It's a website based in Amsterdam, but they're looking for burgers in the United States.
Okay.
Because, I mean, come on.
It's where we're...
You're not going to get burgers. You're not going to get good burgers outside.
Where's the best burger you ever had? Because I can't pinpoint...
I don't know. I like in my mind, it's that one at the Dixie.
Yeah. I can tell you... There's a consistently a burger that I always love to get. There's a place called Great Takeout. It's in Massapequa, Long Island.
Yeah.
And it is so when you go in there, Preston, it is he has like a butcher. It has the meat right in the window there. So it's all fresh. And when you go in, that's the best consistent burger I've had over the past couple of years.
Ooh, you know what? Actually, there's a place in Delaware called Harry's Savoy Grill. Yeah.
On 202?
Dude.
Yeah.
It's a steak place. But we used to live close by there, so every now and then we get takeout, and I tried their cheeseburger one time. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh. I need to go back down there.
The Kobe burger also at the...
Moshulu. Yeah. I know you love that.
Can't beat that stuff.
Press the Dixie. Is it a thick burger or a thin burger?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Oh, we got to go.
I know. We got to go.
We got to go, like, right now.
Rouge's burger, too.
Yeah.
All right. There's a lot of DM burgers that are great.
There's a lot of great burgers. Yeah. Listen, we should sign up and be a part of this thing.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. We can do it.
But it's a...
I mean, we don't have any real jobs.
What's Skinny Legs, Nick? That looks really yummy.
It's my favorite burger of all time. Skinny's in St. John, U.S. Virgin Islands. It's on the other side of the island.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, we're going there next.
Let's go.
South Carolina. Then we're going to Skinny's.
We need to map out a trip of a cheeseburger tour.
Mm.
We have to do that sometime. All right, here's another thing. Here's another dream job, but this is for drinkers. Michelob Ultra, and Nick, this might be good for you, too.
I applied.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Michelob Ultra has announced the opening of a new position. Chief Exploration Officer, whose duties include traveling through national parks in a camper with a fully stocked fridge of beer. The gig also includes gas money, not to mention a salary of $50,000 plus expenses.
So they're encouraging you to drink and drive? Is that what's going on here?
That's it. Okay. What it's all about.
Can you do it and still live?
The main requirement is a deep appreciation of nature, willingness to hike, and ability to capture engaging media. So they're looking for people who have what it takes to do that.
I think that's kind of, I mean, that is one of those things we were talking lovingly, Preston. I was talking to some friends about, you know, when like Guinness used to do the pub giveaway.
Yeah.
That was a thing that was fun. This is a cool idea to give somebody this opportunity to do this. You don't see these kind of promotions anymore.
Yeah, it's they seem to have been popping up because of pandemic.
I think so. Yeah, we might see a resurgence.
Yeah. Hang on. I got to go to this call.
What?
I got to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Dude, Greenwood, South Carolina.
Yeah.
The Dixie is still there, and the burgers are that good.
What, do you live in South Carolina or visit there or what?
We were traveling about a week and a half ago, coming back home, and... We stopped in there, and they are that good.
Seriously?
Wow. So this is recent, Preston, and he's saying they're that good.
It's not like a major metropolitan area. It's a pretty small town.
No. We had to go to Aspen Heights.
Okay.
And we were coming back through, and we just happened to stop there for some reason, and the burgers are good. You still have to eat outside. You can't go in.
Right.
But they're not greasy. They're just full burgers with... everything on it, and it was one of the best cheeseburgers I've ever had.
Wow.
There you go.
I got to tell my sister about that.
John, are they thick or thin?
They are thick.
Okay.
Are they veiny?
Thank you.
Come on, man.
A little hairy. John, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Wow, never in my wildest dreams I think anybody would call in with that here in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Interesting. All right, let me see. What else do I have? Let's talk about this. Cracker Barrel...
Ooh.
Is adding beer, wine, and mimosas to their menu.
Get the hell out of here.
This is the first time it's sold alcohol in its 51-year history.
I wonder why all of a sudden they're allowed to.
Well, they're trying to become the chic place amongst the hipsters, Brett.
The country goers.
Yes, absolutely.
The company
decided...
Let's
get the man buns in there.
They decided to make the change after testing the concept starting before the pandemic began and getting an overwhelmingly positive response from customers.
So there's a few things about Cracker Barrel. So we always joke that no matter what time of day you drive by, the parking lot is full.
Yes.
And also their little store, like you can go in and find great stuff. Like yes. I've gone there... specifically for the store and didn't even eat there.
I've gone Christmas shopping.
Yeah. No. Well, their holiday decorations, some of their holiday stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
That's where I get my ED medication.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Listen, and also, if you have somebody who's like a car buff or something like that for... if you want decorations mm-hmm. and things, they've got stuff like that that you can buy.
The best of Mel Tillis. It's right here.
Yes. Yeah. You'll find that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And vintage candy.
Yes. Yeah.
Vintage candy and soda.
Yep.
It wasn't intentionally vintage. It's just been on the shelf.
Yeah. No, they had this candy my sister always loved as a kid called Goo Goo Bars. And you can't find them anywhere. You can't find them anywhere.
I didn't even know we still had them. It's like the scene of The Naked Gun. That they opened that place up again?
They closed it 7 years ago. Now, see, they pick it up and go, and blow the dust off of it.
It's vintage. Yep.
Goo Goo Bar?
Goo Goo Bars.
And what is it?
I've forgotten what's in it. Peanuts, chocolate, I want to say marshmallow and caramel.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yep.
Oh, I love those things.
Yeah,
okay.
Goo Goo Cluster. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Another great thing about them is you can sit down and basically have your food before you even hand the menu back to them. Like, they're so quick.
Right. Yeah. It's not a complex menu. But I wonder what the introduction of alcohol into that.
Yeah,
because their whole thing is predicated on your they're processing people through. If you're not outside playing checkers in the rocking chairs,
well, that's the thing too. If you're able to get some sort of alcoholic beverage with breakfast, that may
slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Lead people into lunch. You know,
make it more. Maybe they'll have like a DJ there. You know, playing the best of Jim Neighbors.
Welcome to Cracker Barrel. So I would assume, since it says beer, wine, and mimosa, it's going to be pretty easy serving wise to get that stuff out. It's not like they're going to have a bar. So, excuse me. Also, I wonder what that means for servers. If you have to be, you'd have to be over 18, I would imagine.
Just put them in sippy cups.
Cracker Barrel plans to add beer, wine, and mimosa to some 600 of its locations by the end of the fiscal year. The company has more than 666 locations in 45 states.
This is actually a tectonic shift in Cracker Barrel, because Cracker Barrel... I never thought they would ever have an alcohol menu.
I know. I don't know why I have so many Cracker Barrel stories, but a friend of mine...
it's time for Kathy's Cracker Barrel stories.
So she has a teaching job, full-time teaching job, and she still...
Time for Kathy Romano's Cracker Barrel stories.
She still takes one day of her weekend, and she works at Cracker Barrel because of the amount of money that she makes in the morning for breakfast.
No kidding.
So, yep.
Wow.
Well, a friend of ours worked at an ice cream place, would do it all the time, no matter how, for years and years and years, and kept working there. Like, I think just on the weekends, because she loves it, or loved it. I don't know if she still does it, but also because the money with it, people were tipping like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
All right, so that's going to be that by the end of the fiscal year, which I don't know when the hell that is, but they're going to be rolling that out. So a little mimosa. With your grits and your pancakes and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, I love grits. And that's the first place I ever had grits.
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. All right, that's all I have time for. So
that's been the Connoisseur, and we ended with the Cracker Barrel.
Hopefully you guys got something out of that. We are going to take a break because we have a few things to get to. Oh, I do want to remind you of this. We have $1,000 to give away Thursday morning, and it's what we call a watch and win. You need to watch the show. It's a new show on Fox called I Can See Your Voice.
Wow.
It's on Wednesday night. Comes on after The Masked Singer, which I think earlier I said is hosted by Kim Jong. It's Ken Jong. Obviously, you know who he is. But he's hosting this new show. It comes on after The Masked Singer, and you have to answer Thursday morning after watching the show three separate questions. But we're giving you one question per day that you're going to need to know the answer to. So yesterday I gave you one, today the second one, and it is as follows. Which singer brags about being in a punk band? Jot that down. Watch the show tomorrow night. We'll give you the final question tomorrow, and then we'll ask all three, and you should have your answers on Wednesday or Thursday morning. And by the way, it's a brand new show on Fox 29 that asks the question, can you guess if someone can sing without hearing their voice?
Mm.
All right, so find out what that's all about. Maybe win $1,000 on Thursday morning. We're going to break. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we will be right back because we got the B-File coming up next. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
Let's do those stories.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you this morning by Armor Metals and Recycling. That's who it is. Yes, get cash today. If you need cash fast, bring your scrap and e-cycling to Armor Metals and Recycling and walk away with cash today. Located in Pennsauken, New Jersey, or at armormetalsrecycling.com. I love this story. When big wave surfer Doug Falter lost his surfboard in a wipeout in Hawaii, his best hope was for a local fisherman to maybe pick it up. He never imagined it would be found more than 5,000 miles away in southern Philippines.
Unbelievable.
More than 2 years after watching his pale blue custom-shaped board disappear in the huge swell of Waimea Bay, Falter was alerted via social media that it had been found near the remote island of Sarangani.
Wasn't it working as an accountant?
It was not. And the new owner, a local school teacher and aspiring surfer, Giovanni Branzuela, was happy to give it back to him. He said, when I saw the picture of it, I could not believe it. I thought it was a joke.
5,000 miles.
I was certain that that board would never be found again. Branzuela, who bought the badly weathered surfboard from his neighbor a couple of months ago for $40, said the fishermen had found it floating in the sea in August of 2018, 6 months after Falter had lost sight of it. They thought it may have fallen off a passing yacht and sold it to Branzuela's neighbor for a few bucks. Despite months drifting across the Pacific Ocean, the name of the board's shaper, Hawaii-based Lyle Carlson, was still visible on the now yellowish surface.
It's amazing.
Curious, Branzuela looked him up on Facebook, sent him a photo of the board. Carlson shared the picture on Instagram, tagging Falter. Branzuela said, it turned out it's a surfboard from Hawaii. I couldn't believe it myself. It's been my dream to learn to surf and ride the big waves there. For now, I can use his surfboard, and I told him I will take good care of it. The pair have been chatting on Facebook. Falter plans to visit the small island to retrieve his board after coronavirus travel restrictions are lifted. He said, it was my first big wave surfboard custom shaped for myself. I surfed it on the biggest days I've ever surfed in my life. How great is that, man? I love it. In 5 years aboard the Tropical Hideaway 2, Jerry Ash has ridden out some bad storms. That's the name of his boat, I guess.
Right.
The Hideaway 2. But Hurricane Sally was different. Anchored at the Perdido Key RV Resort and Marina in Pensacola,
Perdido,
Ash and his compatriots in their similarly tied up sailboats hunkered down for the night before the winds had picked up. None of them were expecting it to get as bad as it ended up getting. But they saw a man stuck on the pillar under a local bridge.
Oh.
And he wasn't expecting that either. Ash was alerted to the man by onlookers trying to figure out how to help him. The trapped man had been on a boat anchored at the neighboring marina on the other side of the bridge when it broke loose and capsized. Ash would come to learn that the man's only option was to cling to the underside of the bridge all night as the hurricane passed with Category 2 force winds and relentless rain.
So he was hanging onto the pillar underneath a bridge during a Category 2 hurricane.
All night.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unsure how to help, Ash and
this night sucks!
Had posted a grainy picture of the man to Facebook.
I don't like this night!
Asking anyone to pass along a message to rescuers. Eventually, rescuers did come with jet skis, but the winds were too much. And so Ash...
Can you bring me a sandwich?
Ash resolved to do it himself. He said, I knew if I could get to my boat, I could get to him. He said, so I came out here, I grabbed my kayak,
Yeah.
And
do you know anyone who has a kayak? What are you saying?
Just say canoe.
Yeah.
At about 500 feet of rope, and I went out. Ash paddled out to get the man on the rope. Several on shore helped pull him in. The man had a dislocated shoulder and was understandably shaken up. They saved him.
I was rescued by a bukkake.
A kayak.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, one of those. Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting story. A woman fell out of a car and onto a busy highway while hanging out of the passenger window to film a Snapchat video.
Aww.
Police in the UK had said the unnamed woman was dangling out of the vehicle on the M25 motorway south of London. It's only by luck that she wasn't seriously injured or killed, they said. They posted a picture of the open passenger window alongside the hashtag no words. Asked by a user if officers explained the dangers of the attempt to the woman, the police replied, every chance they worked it out before we spoke to them about it. I don't even know what that means.
That must be British.
Some 259 people worldwide died while taking selfies between 2011 and 2017. Researchers found the most selfie deaths occurred in India, followed by Russia, then the U.S. and Pakistan.
Proof that narcissism is lethal.
Mm-hmm. Yep, be careful. And then we'll go with this story. The bleach that is being sold on the Amazon marketplace is typically used in industrial processes, including textile manufacturing and bleaching of pulp or paper. In small doses, it can be used to disinfect water, but the concentrations being advocated by pushers of MMS, Miracle Mineral Solution, are well above safety levels. Proponents of MMS falsely claim that it is a cure-all for almost all diseases, including malaria, HIV, AIDS, cancer, and now COVID-19.
So all you have to do is drink this bleach and you'll be better, huh?
They also market it untruthfully as a cure for the condition of autism. Since the start of the pandemic, the FDA has been trying to clamp down on fraudulent dealers of quack remedies claiming to protect against the virus. Last August, the agency issued a strong health warning that MMS bleach products could be life-threatening. The American Association of Poison Control Centers has recorded more than 16,000 cases of chlorine dioxide poisoning, including 2,500 cases of children under 12. Several deaths of people drinking bleach marketed as a miracle cure have been reported across South America, including in Argentina, where a 5-year-old boy was reported to have died in August, having been given chlorine dioxide as a COVID cure. In the past, Amazon has removed from its platform several pro-MMS books, including those by the founder of the movement, Jim Humble. He claimed to have discovered that chlorine dioxide cures malaria while on a gold mining expedition in the Guyana jungle of 1996. Bless you. So, not that guy. Bless you, Candy.
Yeah, bless him for curing all those people.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Bless you for bless curing you, people with your chlorine treatment.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. All right, we have a guest on the line. The Union, currently in second place in the Eastern Conference. They're going to play Cincinnati FC tomorrow night at 7:30.
The winningest team in Philadelphia right now?
I believe that is the case.
Yeah.
And we would like to welcome the head coach. Please give some love to Mr. Jim Curtin.
Yay!
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Great to be on, and thanks for the support so far this year.
Our pleasure, and congratulations. As Steve had said, the most winning team in Philadelphia right now. That's got to be a feather in the cap.
It's a good thing, yeah. Second place out of 26 teams is good. We're scoring a lot of goals. We're defending well. The only sad thing is the fans haven't been able to enjoy it live at Subaru Park, but we know they're supporting us from afar.
And yeah. Things will change and we'll get back to where we need to get back to, but you're providing a lot of entertainment for people regardless.
I think so, yeah. Like I mentioned, you know, the team's having success on the field. It's a really lovable, fun group to watch. You know, we have, 15 different countries represented, and we've kind of come together, and it's a really great locker room. The players have done a great job. Our staff has done excellent. They've made my job easy throughout the year, and I think it's a team that, you know, Philadelphia can get behind. We're young, we're fearless out there, and we're not afraid to challenge anybody.
Hey, Jim, as a coach, who has a team that's doing well, is having some success, and you know, you've been at this for a while, you've been the coach for 7 years here. Yeah. Do you try not to interfere too much since the team is gelling and they have the keys to success? Or, you know, I mean, because I think, you know, I'm not a coach, but I would imagine micromanagement could be a step in the wrong direction.
That's a great question. That's an ESPN question.
There you go. Look at you, man.
Look at me.
But no, there is. It's a real fine balance because, again, you as a coach, you want to create an environment where they feel comfortable, where each player is getting better each day. But there is a certain point where you just get the heck out of the way and shut up. You know, when they're in a good rhythm and things are going well and they're confident, you don't want to interact and interfere too much. So again, it's finding that balance. We want to keep things going in a positive direction right now. We're winning at home. We're winning on the road. So, yeah, at a certain point, the players, for me, always deserve all the credit. And they've been, you know, making the staff look very good right now, and they're playing some really exciting soccer. But, yeah, it is a fine line. As a coach, you're always guarding against that next letdown. You want to prevent that. And right now we've been able to avoid that in a good way throughout the season. We have to keep that going still with 12 games left.
Nice. Jim, what was the Orlando experience like for you guys? I mean, the bubble seems to have worked for the NHL. I think the NBA figured out how to do it as well. It looks like baseball playoffs are going to be headed into a bubble as well. What was it like for you guys?
Yeah, look, I have to be honest. We were very skeptical going down there. It was scary. You know, you show up literally off of a charter flight, and you're funneled directly into what usually is the happy, smiley place in Disney World, and there's kids everywhere running around, and it was eerie. You know, you get shuffled in to get tested, and it almost felt like that scene from E.T. where, you know, everybody has the hazmat suits on, and you're kind of going, what the heck is going on here? But I have to give the league a ton of credit. It was a safe environment. The things that Disney did down there to keep it safe was impressive. After, you know, an initial couple cases where people had come into the bubble with cases, that got weeded out. One team had to leave, which was unfortunate. But after that, there was literally no positive cases. So it was safe. It does work, the bubble. You know, you lose things like the fans, which are so important to our game. But overall, a really unique experience. And in a weird way, it brought our team closer together. I think you saw down there, some teams treated it the right way and grew from it and adapted and changed like we all have had to do during this crazy time. And some maybe were a little divisive and kind of you saw teams break up a little bit, which was interesting. But overall, it was a safe environment. It was certainly unique, something I'll never forget. But I'll just put it this way. I have three kids, but I'm not going back to Disney for a while.
Well,
35 days down there, and that was plenty for me.
You also adapt, even like the NBA was COVID testing all the Instagram models they were bringing into the hotel.
Yeah, Yeah.
Well,
it was incredible. You would go for little jogs around this mile-long loop that they had set up for us, and I accidentally, on the first day, with headphones on, took about 5 steps off of it and was running. And the police grabbed me right away, and I had to show a credential. I mean, it's strict, guys. So
yeah, well, that's good.
Sneaking them in, they must be doing it on boats or something like that.
But they're dressed as Mickey Mouse.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Hey, Jim, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but let's say the team wins the championship, which would be a wonderful thing. With this season and no fans and it's super duper quiet in the stadium, if you guys won the championship, do you think the Sons of Ben would take the opposite approach and sit there completely silent during the entire games, not even cheer when you score?
I don't think that would happen.
Okay.
No, those guys are crazy, but
that's
no,
a stretch.
It would be amazing, but yeah, again, this season will always have a little bit of an asterisk next to it for sure, but I can tell you guys the intensity of the games. Once the whistle blows, these guys are professionals, and it is the same game, you know. And they, we miss the fans and that feeling of the highs in Subaru Park when we score and the Sons of Ben are going crazy and the Keystone State Ultras are going crazy. That's special, and we miss that. Trust me when I say it. But we're going to approach this season as a chance to lift a trophy. While it will be a unique one, we're going to give everything we can for the city of Philadelphia to try to get that done. But I can say if we do win. Those Sons of Ben, they're going to light something on fire. I don't care.
Hey, Jim, on a personal note, we hear tell that that you have a history with our Camp Out for Hunger.
Yes, I'm down there usually every year. It's an incredible event that you guys have been doing, and I remember listening to it when I was back in high school, and it's incredible what you guys do for the city at all times and anything I can do to help support.
Did I hear that you would skip school and come down to the event from time to time?
No, don't get me in trouble at Bishop McDevitt.
Mom and Dad are listening.
The nuns might still be, I don't even know if any of them are still alive, but I get myself in some trouble.
All right, we won't rat you out. Yeah.
No. All right, well, listen, we want to congratulate you on an exciting season so far. Still more to go. Cincinnati tomorrow night at 7:30, and we'll be cheering you guys on.
Thank you so much, guys, and thanks for the support, and keep growing the game of soccer in Philadelphia.
Excellent. All right, thank you. Jim Curtin, head coach. Philadelphia Union, they're doing well. It's wonderful. All right, we do need to take a break. We will come back in just a moment. Don't forget Matthew Modine is going to be joining us shortly after 9 o'clock. And I'll get you some of the details you need to know about winning $1,000 from us on Thursday morning. When we come back, I'll tell you about that. Stay put.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet
connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
There's a new show coming on Fox 29 tomorrow night. It's called I Can See Your Voice. It comes on after The Masked Singer. The Masked Singer comes on at 8, which is the return. And you will need to answer three questions on Thursday morning in order to win $1,000. I gave you the first one yesterday, giving you the second one today, the third one tomorrow. Then you watch the show tomorrow night. Thursday morning, I'll ask you to answer all three of those questions. So the designated caller will win $1,000 if you can answer correctly. So today's question, to remind you, is which singer brags about being in a punk band?
Uh-huh.
So while you're watching the show, jot down the answer and have the other two, because I gave you the one yesterday and we'll give you one tomorrow, and then get yourself ready to listen on Thursday morning to win $1,000.
I can see your voice.
Love to give that to you. Yes, and apparently, Steve, it's a brand new show that asks a question. Can you guess if someone can sing without hearing their voice? So I guess they take a look at you,
yeah,
and they eye you up and try to determine whether
this slob can sing.
You have a good voice,
yeah,
or not. So we'll see. Looks can be deceiving. We all thought Kathy could sing.
Yeah. Little did we know. Yeah. You know?
I told you, in fourth grade, my mom called the music teacher.
And wanted asked to be in select choir?
Yes. She was like, please let her in. She really wants to be in it. And the music teacher was like, sure, yes, of course. And then I never got
invited.
Your
daughter is a horrible singer. And her singing actually hurts the students' ears.
Oh, my God. All right. Loved it so much. And I just was so terrible.
We'll see who wins on Thursday morning. Nick brought up an interesting story that we thought was worth exploring a little bit. Do you want to tell us what happened with you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the short version is I got a parking ticket last year. And,
what?
I know.
Anybody got a parking ticket? 215? No. There's more to it than that.
It was July of 2019. And
right.
For the first time, I used the app. I'd never downloaded that app that you can get from the PPA.
Right.
And I was at a restaurant with a friend, and I thought that I had added more money. I know that I had added more money because the receipt showed up on my credit card. But
all right, so you've parked. You used the app, which is if you see, and then people are using it more and more.
Yeah,
now they suspended it for a little bit during the COVID.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. So since then, Steve, I actually deleted the app because I ran into this issue, and I thought that it had worked properly. It didn't. It might have been a mistake on my end. I don't know.
All right.
But so I thought that I added money to the meter while I was at the restaurant with my friend. Get back to the car, see the parking ticket. I'm like, oh, I know I put in more money, whatever.
All right.
So with the PPA, they make it relatively easy to dispute a ticket online.
Right.
So I thought
using the app, I assume it would even be easier.
Using the app, and all you have to do is punch in the ticket number.
Right.
And they say they'll send you an update, and they'll email you. And,
right.
And so this was July of 2019, and I never heard anything. I held on to the little receipt that the file that said that I had filed this dispute. And I actually had a photo in my phone forever of the ticket that showed up, just in case, right?
Right.
I'm not exaggerating. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was like, well, I guess maybe they dismissed the case. I'd never heard anything. So I deleted those things. So yesterday in the mail, I got a delinquency notification from a law firm in Chicago. And it says your vehicle may be booted. Your vehicle may be towed. You may have your registration suspended. And it is now attached to a $101 fine on top of all of
that.
Wow. Yeah, but it's coming from a law firm. I don't think that means anything. That's nothing.
You don't?
No.
I don't either.
Well, okay, so you guys thought this might be not a scam or some kind of an issue, but it has the ticket number on it. It has the violation date on it, too.
Yeah, they want you to call them and so that you can hire them to take care
of this. They somehow got your information and that you got a ticket.
It's public record. That's my belief.
So this is my last car, and I don't even own this car anymore.
Right.
And I never got any notification at any point at all from PPA. So I don't know if I should contact the parking authority or
I'd be curious. I'm wondering.
I think you're fine.
Here's the deal. You can't be flippant about it because you want to make sure. But to me, it seems weird that the city would turn over.
No.
I'd call 911.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Call them right now.
You know.
Oh, see, it says Nick McWhat the F.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should follow up because I don't want to get my car booted. I don't think that they're going to go to that extreme, but I don't want to have this something on my permanent record with a PPA or, you know, the next time I drive into the city, have this thing lingering over me or to incur more fines.
You don't want to go out and just, you know, the Chicago way.
Right. Yeah.
It's not even a bill that you can pay.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying? They're not giving you the option to pay this.
What about they giving me the option to do?
Do you know what I'm saying? Like where you would fill it out and mail it in and pay it. Like, hey, if you get a ticket from the city, you can fill it out and mail it in and pay it.
Yep.
This is just a printed with some information on it.
And it has a creditor's reference number, which is also the ticket number, but it also is the violation date of when I got the ticket.
What does it instruct you to do?
Spin around with your finger on your nose.
Well, that seems silly. Mail your payment in the enclosed envelope, pay online at phillipark.org. Or pay in person at the payment center listed below.
Where's the payment center?
In Philly.
Chicago. See, that sounds legit.
That's why I think that it is
legit. Because you're freaking out and you're not going to pay this because you know you took care of it. So you're going to call these people.
But I don't know that I took care of it. I never got any notification from PPA at any point. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what this number is. It's an 855 number in Chicago, Illinois.
Hmm.
And I apparently owe $101 for a violation that I never heard anything
to
about.
To me, those parking tickets would probably be public record. Like, so they, in
I
other words,
are.
I found out a while ago that insurance-wise, Philadelphia has, they have insurance companies in Philadelphia and attorneys hire people to scour the records. Mm-hmm. To follow up. We're the most litigious, apparently. The amount of lawsuits based on car accidents is through the roof in Philadelphia because there's such an aggressive after accident push to incite these lawsuits. You see the commercials all the time.
Yeah.
So because they are public records, you can send somebody through and just have them scour records and contact people.
Yeah.
Do you feel you got enough from the insurance company or whatever? And that's what happened. So I think this might be in some way tangential to that.
I have a question about the parking app, though, too, Nick. Is there, like, if you, let's say it says 3-hour max parking, right?
Right.
And you get to those 3 hours, are you allowed, you're not allowed to, like, re-up that.
Can you add funds to it? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, that's a good question. Yeah. My thing is, I believe with the app, can't you keep paying for that spot?
If it's a 2-hour max, you're not supposed to. Now, we had a singles mixer in Conshohocken last year, and I parked in like a 2-hour parking place in Conshi, and I went out.
Was it at parking?
It was not at parking. Well, I don't, you know, it's I don't recall.
All right.
What I did was 2 hours later, I went out to my car. I saw the chalk mark on my tire. Right.
You licked it off.
I did not. And there was a guy there, a parking guy that was handing out tickets. And I said to the guy, I said, if I pull my car out into the street and then pull it back into this thing, I said, am I good? He goes, yeah. Huh. He goes, you've left and you've come back.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, and so the chalk mark will have moved from where they had marked it, maybe? Is that how they saw it?
Of course, if you give me a hand jab, I'll look at
it. Oh, my God.
I was like, I'll do that anyway, bro.
I need to know if this is true or not. Somebody texted and said, parking tickets in PA have a 2-year statute of limitation. Just ignore it.
Yeah. What?
I mean, that's, you know.
Just talk to Pierre.
Right.
Yeah. Pierre, the ultimate source of law.
And this is only 1 year. You know, this is a year and a couple of months ago. So I don't know if that statute of limitations is in existence or not.
Now, I'm waiting for something to come in the mail from New Jersey because I was in my wife's car driving into Atlantic City.
And you robbed a bank.
I did not rob a bank, Steve. What happened was, so she doesn't have Easy Pass. So I had to throw my change into one of those little change thingies.
Oh.
And it never registered. It was 75 cents or whatever. I threw it in there. I'm waiting for it to go like cling, 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 cling. All right, go ahead. Right. And it never did. So I'm like, oh my God. And I like threw another quarter in there. Still nothing. And I was like, I don't have any more change in the car. And I just took off.
Hang on a second here. Now, I need to know if this is true, too. It says, Nick, the PPA is not a city entity. It is a private company based out of Chicago.
Well, what does PPA stand for, then?
Philadelphia Parking Authority.
People who live in Chicago. So,
people who pass a town called Chicago. No, so, no surprise that you got this from a law firm in Chicago. If you no longer own the car and it has a different registration, ignore it. I don't know if that's true. I'm curious. That's interesting.
That would be really interesting if the Philadelphia Parking Authority was based in Chicago.
My Philadelphia Parking Authority, a Chicago corporation.
My general approach to things like this is ignore the problem. It'll go away.
I think so. That's a good piece of advice whenever the law is involved.
Right, yeah. But for this one, because it says I actually am supposed to pay online at philipark.org, which is where you pay these fines or you pay any parking ticket, that's why I'm a little thrown off by it.
Yeah, because contacting the parking authority,
right,
then it's legitimate.
Okay.
It seems like. That's what I would surmise. I mean, I don't know.
That's why making heads or tails of this stuff is always a nightmare.
All right. We got a lot of... What?
Huh?
Some guy peed on a church.
All right. Well, let's go to him first.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, let's find out about that.
Yeah. Well, how can we not? Tim?
I was detained and cited for allegedly urinating at a church.
Okay, all right.
What does it have to do with parking?
The thing is, I still get letters from law firms all over the place that, like, basically threatening, saying I could get further charged for, you know, indecent exposure and exposing myself to all kinds of things, and to call them. And again, it's a scam. It's a complete scam for them to try and get you to pay them a couple money pay them money to advise.
Because that infraction is public record, they have found this and they've contacted you.
Absolutely, that's my understanding of a friend who's a lawyer who said, you know, that they get this stuff flood their desks all the time. With, you know, especially young lawyers will get stuff on their desk, you know, to try and drum up some business. But you know, it's a complete scam.
Tim,
yeah,
did you pee on the church?
Is that really important?
Well done, sir. I find in favor of the defendant. Yeah.
He gets a letter from the Pope. Dear Tim, you peed on the church. Send me $100.
Let's see here.
Gotta go.
Yeah, we have a lot of people who are saying they get that they get letters all the time from speeding tickets, from
which are generally low level infractions.
Yeah, here, you know what? A lot of these calls are similar, so I'll go to a handful of them here. I'm going to go to Dan. Hi, Dan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Dan?
I believe that law firms will reach out to cities with delinquent fines, and they will take the rights of collecting on those citations and give a percentage back to the city.
I see. So that they work out a deal. They say, okay, listen, you're not getting any traction on it. Let us take a crack at it. If we get something, we'll split some of the money with you.
Right. And I think it's the city will go and pick the best deal from law firms that reach out to them that will give them the most.
Interesting. All right.
So that's got to be bottom of the barrel stuff.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, I guess if you do it in bulk, yeah.
You know, if you're doing a whole bunch of these, maybe that's what entry level lawyer, you know, people that are working at the firm have to do. I don't know.
People without the cowboy hats.
Right.
You got to trust those guys.
You don't get a cowboy hat yet, son. Yeah. You got to do 5 years of this first.
Like the Lone Ranger.
Hanging out with that guy? He doesn't have a hat.
Somebody texted in and asked if I still have the same license plate from that car, because you can transfer an old license plate from an old car to a new car, and I don't. So there's no link from my old car, which is the one that got this ticket, to my current car. It's a new car with a new license plate. Like, I'm thinking about just ignoring it entirely.
You completely got shed that last identity, too. You know, wear an eye patch and walk with a limp.
Exactly.
Now, here's a cautionary tale. Let me go to TJ. Hi, TJ. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
So, a couple of years ago, I had gotten pulled over for an expired inspection and an expired emissions. So, cop pulls me over, gives me a ticket, no big deal. A couple of days later, I get the ticket in the mail from the magistrate, pay it, send it back, whatever. Everything's good, right? So I get in all of these notices like Nick does with all of the different, hey, hire us, we'll take care of your ticket, right? So, excuse me. So a couple years goes by, and I get pulled over for a speeding ticket. Think nothing of it, send it to the mail. Everything's all good. I get a notice back from PennDOT they're suspending my license. I'm like, what is going on? So I end up having to go to a lawyer. Back and forth with the court systems. Apparently, I never paid off the fine entirely. I had missed a handful of fees. No idea. Nobody ever contacted me. I thought everything was all good to go. Huh. But there I am arguing in front of a court that I don't have a license now for 6 months over this ticket.
Wow. And so this was all as per the law. Nobody was playing light and loose with the restrictions?
No. So I'm actually in the lawyer's office, and he asks me, can I see your license for a second? So I give it to him. I'm like, yeah. He shows me the code, the way it's written in Pennsylvania. He says, this is the code that they're trying to nail you for. And he looks at the date on my license. He's like, you've recently got this renewed. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't understand how you were able to renew this. I don't understand how you even had this license, because this should have been taken away a long time ago.
Okay, let me ask you about the fees. Where isn't there a bottom line total of you owe this, you pay this? Where do fees come into play?
Apparently, the fees came from the local magistrate's office.
And you weren't made aware of that?
Nobody had sent me anything in the mail about it.
Huh.
How can that be legal if you are not apprised of fees levied against you,
yeah,
and then you receive punitive damage because of those fees?
I have no idea. I spent $1,200 in lawyer fees trying to retain my license, because 6 months is a long time to be without a license.
Yeah,
that's got to be illegal for them to do that to you. You have to be informed of something, especially on that level, especially if you're losing your license.
You would think, but there I was without a license for 6 months. I actually had to mail it back to PennDOT.
Huh.
And to make matters worse, it took them 2 weeks to process the return back to me.
So you paid court cost fees, and your license was still suspended for 6 months.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's a bone job.
Yeah.
That's a technical.
Any chance of following up on that, or are you just going to let it lie?
I just let it lie. You get to a point where you've spent so much money trying fighting it.
Yeah.
You become the Punisher.
Exactly.
Or you hire a guy with a cowboy hat.
Right.
Either one. Wow. Sorry to hear that, TJ. Thanks for the heads up, man.
I'm hiring Laredo Pete. Guys.
All right, see ya.
But, you know, here's the other odd thing for me, and I mentioned this earlier, but I never received any notification at any point from PPA until I got this letter in the mail this week. So there was never any, hey, you owe us this money. Like, if I had gotten that, we found in favor of you, or we found against you or whatever,
right,
I would have paid the fine. But I never received any update at any point from PPA until this letter showed up.
One would assume that with the app, and I use the app all the time, I find it very useful. It's a godsend. I love it when I park and I can add time to something, add time to my parking time there, my duration. We're assuming, gives an actual record.
Right.
There is an actual record of your time when you renewed it, and so on and so forth. So in this case, wouldn't there be an actual record in the system that would show you were still parked and you'd upped your parking?
And a credit card charge.
And a credit card charge.
I saved that as well, too. So I was prepared to say, hey, I tried to do this.
Right.
I think that I did it properly. And if they, you know, I've gone down to the court at the PPA where you're like, okay, I've done this. And sometimes they rule in your favor. Sometimes they don't. But whatever, it can be worth it. For this one, I thought I had a case. And so I thought it was a legit thing. And then to hear nothing until getting this letter is confusing.
It's situations like this. I think there's a reason why so many people fall for the BS scams, the phone calls that come in. You know, you owe money to the IRS. This insurance thing is not covered, and so on. Because we're suspect of them.
Yes.
But people who have had an issue like Nick might tend to believe now that if they call and say you owe this amount of money, and you just pay it, you know what I mean, to avoid that.
You do it the old-fashioned way. You make good on your tab with iTunes credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
That's how you know you've handled everything properly.
George says he has an easy way for you to check this out. Hi, George. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
No. Okay. You're here to help. What's up, man?
All right. So the easy way to find out, you go on the PPA website. This is how I pay my tickets all the time. You just you go to pay my ticket or pay my bill, and you punch in the ticket number or your license plate number, and it'll search through any tickets you got outstanding. The PPA, they're evil, so they're never going to notify you and say, hey, you guys owe me money. They're going to wait until it's maxed out, until you owe them a ton of money. So if it doesn't pop up, then it's a fake thing. But if it pops up, you still owe them money.
Okay,
they never forget, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No,
like an elephant.
I believe it. Thanks. Yeah, Nick, so have you gone on the website yet?
I'm doing that right now.
Check it out.
Pornhub.com.
Okay, Pornhub.
Punch in the P-O-R-N-H-U-B.
Let me see here. Somebody wants to mention the parking app issues and how to fix that.
All right.
So I'll go to Christine. Hi, Christine. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Christine?
Nothing. So I work down in University City. And when I first went down, you know, they give you the app and they say it's easy because if you are stuck there for a little bit longer than you're supposed to be, you can re-up on it. Well, when they re-up on it, so when you go through your 3 hours, and let's say it's $1 an hour,
right,
the next 3 hours, you will get charged double.
Okay. All right. So
so it just, as you add time on it, it doubles the amount of money that you put.
All right. So if it says, if it says 3 hour maximum, but yet you have to, you're going to stay longer, it's going to double the charge per hour, correct?
Yep. So what you have to do is use the app. When you're all done, go down and pay and get a ticket, and then as long as there's a break in between, then you can reuse the app again.
See, that's like a trap.
Yeah. So instead of adding time, you're just saying let it completely run out and then act as if you're parking for the first time.
Yeah, but
because it does it by zone,
again.
Right? You'll be in like zone.
Reuse the app again in the same zone, or else it will double charge you.
Oh.
So, and then if you keep going, because I didn't know, because it doesn't tell you that. And I work an 8-hour workday, so I stayed for 3 hours. I'm like, oh, the convenience of the app, I can just add 3 more hours. I'm like, why am I getting charged? Now I'm paying for I was there for 9 hours.
Right. Okay. So if you let it time out and then like wait about a minute and then because you know the zone, you can put it in again and then you don't have to go down to the car. I mean,
you have to go down to the car.
Why?
Consecutive. Or else you'll get double charged. So what I do, and a lot of my coworkers do, is we, in the morning, we'll pay as we go up, and then we'll just add it on through the app so we don't have to go back outside, or you can do it the other way.
I'm not getting it.
So somebody, last time we talked about this, somebody else emailed in the exact same thing that she's talking about.
So here's
you can't use the app consecutively for the same zone. Or else it double charges you.
To me,
like
that,
you're getting charged more. You think that it's easy, it's convenient, but it's charging you more money than it initially charged you, or what you think that you should be paying for that spot, what you initially paid for.
Here's the deal, though. I guess it's maybe that is to deter people from locking and loading in one spot for all day or doing what you're attempting to do.
Yeah,
but what's the difference? You know.
Yeah. They're getting the money.
You know what?
People who go on doctor's appointments and they are thinking, oh, I'm stuck here for another, I just need another hour, and then they're getting charged for 2 hours.
Right.
All right, and they don't even tell you.
All right.
I ended up emailing them and they were like, oh, well, sorry, it's a pyramid system or something.
All right.
This is red.
I guess your best bet would be then to actually pay at that little kiosk thing first, right? So if you're going to be there for a while, you pay the max time, and then when that time is up, you go down and then use your app as if you're using your app for the first time.
That could work. I've never used the app. I don't have the app on my phone.
Me neither.
I've never.
I'm
a garage parker, so very rarely do I park on the streets.
I use it all the time, like for example, in Chestnut Hill and certain lots and so on and so forth. It's just quick. You pull in, you see the number, the zone that you're in. It'll tell you the zone that you're in.
You can use it in the lots as well.
Oh, yeah. And so it makes it very quick. And you put in for a couple minutes if you're running in to get something, and you know I like it. However, in this case, if they're trying to corral you or force you into paying maximum money to go into a lot, that the whole purpose of the app is to expedite the process. But if they're setting you up for the fail and setting you up for a ticket, gosh, they wouldn't do that, would they, Nick?
It's one of those things. Like, I know there are bigger problems in the world, but it really ruins your day when you get a parking ticket. And I thought that I had been doing the right thing, and I've deleted the app since. So I'm getting so many conflicting ideas. I don't quite know what to do. I tried looking it up via philipark.org, but I don't remember my old license number. So I have the ticket number, but I don't know what my old license
is. Listen, we revolutionized the weather forecasting industry with the Preston and Steve weather app. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's time to have a Preston and Steve parking.
Do you guys know what your license plate number is? Any of you guys?
No idea.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't.
You know,
Nick, why don't
I've
you...
I've had the same license plate number for 24 years, something like that.
Nick, why don't you try calling? Because I'm sure they can look it up with just your the ticket number.
Call the PPA?
Yeah.
All right.
Try to get somebody on the phone.
Nick's right, though. When you walk up to your car and you're like, oh, somebody put a flyer on my car.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Oh, jeez. You got to be kidding me.
You know where it really becomes a nightmare? Say for if you're a contractor or if you're working in a town where you're going in and out and you're doing things, you're a delivery person. And, you know, or your vehicle's not obviously a work vehicle, or there's all sorts of nightmares and hoops you have to jump through, and it makes it difficult. I know there's a contractor friend of mine who's like, they're always ticketing me, you know, and it's clear that I'm doing work in a thing.
How can they be so efficient there?
Yeah, right? I know, yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that they're like 100% at, right?
I knew a guy who was an audio engineer, and he had a placard that he kept in his car,
right,
and it said, emergency phone repair. And he would park in a place without paying the meter, and he would just stick it in the... And we were at this guy's office one time, and he goes, watch, come here, come out of the window, watch this. He's like, there's a cop walking up to my car right now. Cop walks up, kind of looking, has the sheet out, goes over, looks, walks away. He's like,
wow.
Every time.
Yeah.
Now, I doubt you can get away with that.
No,
but
no.
But that's what he had. It looked very official and said emergency phone repair. And he had equipment in his car because he was an audio engineer.
Yes.
Yeah. So he
had, oh, look, okay.
So he just had stuff.
What if you had put?
Oh, my gosh.
President.
President.
Yeah. No, just write a note that says meter is broken.
Z.
Spell meter is broken and yeah. Spell meter wrong like yeah, I
Casey
did.
Casey did that one time.
I got honked off one time when my dad was in the hospital. And so this is 6 years ago. And the meters by Presbyterian were broken. And so for a couple of days, you could park there for free.
Yeah.
And then they put bags over and there was no parking because the meters were broken. It's like, dude.
No.
Tough that, crap. You can't say no parking. Fix your friggin' meters.
That's exactly right. The need to park is still there. It's your obligation is to fix it or work out a way to charge for it.
Yeah.
I agree.
I apologize to those who've been on hold for like 20 minutes, DJ and Phil. We got calls from other people who said similar things. So I apologize. I didn't get a chance to go to you guys, but thanks for holding on the line. And Joe as well. You were on for a long time. But we need to take a break.
Yes.
We have a guest coming up. We got Matthew Frickin' Modine joining us in just
Frickin'
a second.
Matthew Modine.
That's the man. But we also have Tat Tuesday. So please, if you're interested in a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, text the word tattoo to 39333. And if you want to check out their artwork, you can do it at floatingworldtattoos.com or Instagram at floatingworldtattoos. They're located at 1729 South Street in Philly. We'll get a winner before the show's up. Coming back in a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
So we're waiting for a call from Matthew Modine. It is indeed 9:10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dude, believe me, I'm looking right now just to make sure. Hi, Casey. This is to confirm your interview with Matthew Modine on September 22nd. That's today, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. At 9:10 a.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we had a call that was supposed to happen the other
day. Size Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, my God. That's it. It's Jennifer Lopez.
So we're going to be talking to him about Full Metal Jacket. And normally I would just wait until we get the guests on the line. But there's so much you could talk about in that movie that I think we can start talking a little bit about before he even calls in.
Yeah, if you remember, so Platoon had come out and, you know, it was sort of the definitive, you know, Vietnam movie.
And then, leading up to that, there had already been a lot of Vietnam
Boys
movies.
And Company C and other movies. Full Metal Kubrick, who I adore, and you know, you got me one of my favorite T-shirts, which is a Stanley Kubrick shirt, mm-hmm. You know, turned his focus on this. And it's just unlike any other. But it also, I think, ends up being one of the most emotional. It has one of the most emotional endings. It has probably the most visceral, tangible deaths in any movie I've ever felt. When Private Cowboy dies,
mm-hmm.
But you're just along and you're riveted all the way through.
So for it to stand out as much as it did outside of those other movies that had come
formidable.
Before,
yeah.
Was yeah, because Platoon was huge.
Yeah, and a great movie.
It is a great movie, but
this one.
Full Metal Jacket's another level because specifically for the boot camp parts of it, because it you're like, where's this going to go? They haven't, they haven't left the damn island yet, and this is already intense as hell.
In classic Kubrick, you know, way, like he did in 2001, as he did with the, you know, you go from primitive man, you know, the bone into the sky, and you take a jump forward to 2001 in space. In here, you go from the boot camp right to Vietnam. There's nowhere landing, and we're getting acclimated. And they're right in the thick of it, and they jump right to it.
Yeah, so I'm looking for, like, running time, right? So I the running time was 116 minutes, right? So just short of 2 hours.
Yeah.
How much of that was spent at the boot camp? Like,
it's got to be a good half hour. Yeah, right?
I thought it was about half the movie, but I don't know. I've never done the time on it. There's a little thing that I never picked up on until I saw a behind-the-scenes kind of making-of thing about the movie. And so you have Arlie Ermey, who's the drill instructor. He's Hartman. And then you have Private Pyle's Vincent D'Onofrio. And there's a scene where D'Onofrio, they're doing, you know, port arms. They're doing all the drill stuff. And he puts the rifle on the wrong shoulder.
Right.
And Hartman comes over and says, you don't know your difference between left and right. And he starts smacking him on each side of his face. That's the left side of your face. That's the right side of your face. And I never picked up on this, but there's one of the hits when he hits him where Pyle's hat comes up and spins all the way around 360 degrees and lands back on his head. He hit him so hard that it actually knocked the hat off of him. It goes up and spins around and lands back on his head. And they were like, that's a keeper.
Yeah.
We're keeping that one because they could have done that 100 times and not had that happen.
This is a movie that I love, but I've only been able to watch once.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah, because Steve, you talked about the palpable moments, and like it affected me. You know, I carried it around with me for a long time, and had a hard time, so much so that I could never really get around to watching it again.
I must have seen it, Nick, 60 times.
Okay.
I love it that much.
All right, he's on the line. He's ready to go. So we'll dive right into it. The movie's available on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray combo pack, and digital. Please welcome Mr. Matthew Modine to the show. Good morning, Matthew.
I heard you guys talking about me, so I called in.
Thank you. Listen, normally we never start talking about the subject at hand before we get the guests on the line. But leading into this interview, I was going to lead with, where do we even start? You know, I mean, the movie is so iconic. It's so big. It's a Kubrick piece. You and the cast are amazing in it. I don't even know where to start talking to you about it, you know?
Let's start with Two Live Crew sampling the song.
So horny.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how big it was, yeah.
it was. We were talking, Matthew, about the fact that there had been some movies dealing with Vietnam prior to it. And we had, you know, the Deer Hunter. We had the Boys in Company C. We had Platoon. Mm-hmm. But the Kubrick touch with this particular crew of actors and everything came together. And I remember seeing it, and I'm thinking, okay, how do you top those movies? And I remember when I first saw it in the theater, I'm like, I walked out, and it just lived with me for so long after. And I think a large portion of that had to do with you and your performance and the way you enter into boot camp and the transformation that takes place down to what I consider one of the most emotional, heart-wrenching endings of a movie ever. And I mean, I have to ask you, as you approach the subject matter, you know you're entering a Kubrick film. Could you have even seen at that point how iconic and what a masterpiece Full Metal Jacket would be?
No, the only window into that is Stanley Kubrick, you know, that having known what his reputation was. But you never do. You show up and you do the best you can. You learn your lines and you hit your mark and you hope you don't bump into the furniture, you know, the scenery. So, but I mean, it is a big advantage having someone like Stanley Kubrick and the other Vietnam movies that you mentioned. I think that's the important part, is that we call them Vietnam movies. And what Stanley Kubrick was making was something much bigger. That it's a story about young people. I mean, in those days, just men, but now it would be men and women. It has a universal truth to it, that we're taught our whole life to respect one another and, you know, thou shalt not kill. And then we have in those days, a draft or young men and women join up. And then you have to reprogram them and beat that out of them through the boot camp initiation. And
teach them, as Arlie Ermey says, you know, to be killers.
Yeah.
And, you know, to pull the trigger before they pull the trigger.
Just trip what is we're taught to not do, and then do it. And Kubrick had made one of the definitive anti-war movies with Paths of Glory, which is another masterpiece. And here you are, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you first received the script, it was really not like a standard script that you'd receive. It was almost like a novel that you were getting with suggestions of scenes.
That's correct. Yeah. It, of course, the screenplay is based on the book by Gus Hasford called Short Timers, and as you pointed out, it wasn't formatted like a script. It was, you know, the person walks in the room, and it was kind of, as you say, a suggestion of what might be said.
Yeah.
And then when Lee Ermey, who was the drill instructor, he was the technical advisor that was hired to, you know, help turn the recruits into soldiers to teach us how to march and use our rifles and, you know, authenticity in the combat situations. And there was another actor named Tim Colcheri, who was the door gunner in Vietnam, who's shooting women and children from the door of the helicopter.
Right.
He was the original person that was cast to play the drill instructor role. And Stanley heard Lee Ermey auditioning the people that were going to be the recruits in boot camp. And these things that were coming out of his mouth were just crazy. So he had his assistant, Leon Vitali, type up everything that Lee was saying. And then they made this very difficult decision, was to let Tim go and hire Lee to be the drill instructor. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. How could you get it any better than the guy himself?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Tim
yeah.
still got I a mean, great in line in with you. Just don't lead him so much. So he did have a stand out of that. But asking about Lee, in true to form, during the filming, because that's what fascinates me, because I know the film so well. Did he stay separated from the guys playing the recruits, you and the rest of the actors, just to solidify, you know, the difference between drill instructor and recruit?
No, there wasn't any of that kind of behavior.
Oh, okay.
No. Sometimes people ask me how I was able to keep a straight face with the things that Lee was saying. But I'll tell you this, and I feel safe telling you, because Lee is no longer with us, and he can't come and punch me in the nose. He had the worst teeth, and he drank a lot of coffee and smoked cigarettes. And then he wasn't a trained actor, so he had to memorize all those lines, even though he knew them and wrote a lot of them. He still had to do, you know, for continuity, he had to do take after take after take. So when he was yelling at you, you had bad teeth, coffee, cigarettes, and nervous tension coming out of his mouth. And then, you know, people aren't supposed to yell that much. You're not supposed to yell 12 hours a day.
Right.
And a drill instructor might do it for half an hour a day over the course of the day. And Lee was having to do it 12, 14 hours a day.
Wow.
And his throat started to bleed. And then they got him a steroid spray. So then at a certain point, you had coffee, cigarettes, bad teeth, nervous tension, and then blood and a steroid spray coming at your face. So,
oh, my God.
It was just horror.
Matthew, yeah, is it true that the production schedule for the film was so drawn out that you not only got married, but you also conceived a child? The child was born and then turned one all during the course of the filming?
We were married before we got there, but the rest is true.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Yeah. But that's Kubrick is known for that. What I was surprised to learn, Matthew, is knowing the very pedantic way that Kubrick is the legend of Kubrick is very pedantic. He's a very meticulous filmmaker. But I was surprised to learn that he allowed room for on-set discovery. Was that the case?
Well, it was always the case, yeah. And Leon Vitali, who had worked with him, as I say, and Barry Lyndon, and then The Shining, and Full Metal Jacket, and then subsequently Eyes Wide Shut. He says, you know, oftentimes people will ask him, what would AI, the artificial intelligence movie that was Kubrick's movie that Spielberg directed, what would it have been like if Stanley directed it? And Leon always says nobody knows, because Stanley wouldn't know until he came to the set and saw what the actors were going to do. So when you came to the set, you didn't have a casual walkthrough rehearsal of what you were doing. He said, no, you got to do the scene like you're going to do it, because otherwise I don't know where to put the camera. Because, you know, there's only really one right place to put the camera to tell the scene. And, you know, he would pre-vision and dream about and build, you know, sets and things like that. But he really didn't know where he was going to put the camera, what lens he was going to use, or when the camera was going to move until he had a proper rehearsal.
It's amazing because he came from the world of photography. He worked in a camera store. He knew cinematography, you know, like the back of his hand, and understood how cameras worked. But the fact that he would let the scene and the actors help determine his idea of placement is an amazing revelation for me.
Yeah, and then sometimes, you know, he wasn't feeling it, and because he was a really good producer, and, you know, having gone on as long as we did, that you mentioned, that we filmed for almost 22 months,
not consistently.
There was a car accident, and Lee Ermey didn't work. Vincent D'Onofrio blew out his knee and missed some work. But he, you know, on another person, that would be an out of control, you know, train. And but we kept the budget within, you know, $10 million, making the movie over that period of time. If that had been, you know, another director, that could have easily gone up to $100-150 million.
Obviously the finished product is a masterpiece, but I just wanted to ask if did you enjoy yourself making the movie?
Yeah, I almost said I was on one of those movies where the budget went like that. It was called Cutthroat Island.
It's okay. It was not your fault. It was not your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. That started out at like 50 and then ended up being like, I don't know, 100. I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars that movie cost. But what was the question you asked?
The finished product is a masterpiece, but did you actually enjoy yourself while making the movie, or was it
laborious?
Laborious, yeah.
Well, the good thing is that a friend of mine gave me a Rolleiflex camera, because you mentioned Stanley Kubrick had a photography background. And he said, you know, if you learn how to use this camera, this medium format Rolleiflex camera, it probably Stanley be really impressed, and you could, you know, kind of crack the ice and start a conversation with him. Because we all assumed that he was going to be somebody who was almost robotic and not have anything to do with you. And he was absolutely the opposite. He was a kid that grew up in the Bronx in New York and loved making movies, loved baseball. He, you know, he was a normal guy.
So
I taught myself to use this medium format camera, and Stanley said, look, if you're going to take pictures on my set, this is the camera you should get. He told me to get this autofocus, auto everything Minolta. And I hated that camera, but I loved the Rolleiflex the important part was that if you're going to take pictures on my set, that was unheard of. And so Stanley allowed me to take photographs on the set with this medium format camera. And so I published it with a diary that I kept while I was making the film. It's called Full Metal Jacket Diary. It was published into a limited edition metal covered book with a serial number. There's only 20,000 of them. I'm never making any more. And then this genius from Apple, Adam Rakoff, he said, would you be interested in making it into an app? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, we'll have you read the book, we'll do music and sound effects, and we'll take all the photographs that you took on the film and scan them and do high resolution scans of them, and then we'll make an app. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, well, that's the hard part. And then he spent the next year and a half building this incredible app it's only available for an iPad. And right now,
I have an iPad. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right now, you can download it for free. to as a celebration of this 4K release of Full Metal Jacket.
Well, just so you know, I actually purchased this 4K. I'm waiting for it to arrive, and so I feel entitled to then download that free app on my iPad. That's very exciting. I mean, this is a great celebration of a great work of art of which you are an integral part, and it's an amazing celebration.
Yeah. So
thank you.
Hey, we appreciate the call. So thanks so much. Yep.
One of the things that you said in the beginning was that about Vietnam.
Yeah.
And the genius of Stanley with this film was that he didn't make a movie about Vietnam. He made a movie about war.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned before, about what happens to people that, you know, and just to tip our hats and say thank you to all the veterans who served in all the wars there's the scars that we see, and then there's the invisible scars that they carry with them sometimes to their death.
Right.
And that's the psychological scars, the ones we can't see. And that's why it's so important to love and take care of our veterans, because they're seeing things that they know, things that they've seen, like that 1,000-yard stare that we tried to get Private Joker to have at the end of Full Metal Jacket.
Absolutely. Well stated, and good advice to respect and honor the people who actually did this for real and not in a movie. So,
We know you got to run.
I'm surprised you didn't mention Linda Fiorentino, who from Vision Quest, who's from Philly.
Yo, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about it because I was actually getting my teeth worked on yesterday. Crazy for You came on. It was just, and then our overnight guy was like, "Dude, ask Matthew Modine about Vision Quest." But this was not about that.
We talked about Vision Quest last time,
but we could do a whole segment on Vision Quest, man. I love it.
When the 4K comes out. Yeah, man.
Done deal. We'll make sure that happens. You are the man, Matthew. And we love you on Stranger Things as well. So keep up these great projects. It's wonderful to talk to you today.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Matthew Modine. Yeah. You got something for me. Wow. Listen, about 5 minutes ago, they called our hotline and they said to wrap it up. So that's why
he kept going. Yeah.
I know he kept going. I'm like, dude, I'll go for another half hour if you want. We'd go all day long.
You could just do that on that final sequence in Full Metal Jacket. I'm sorry, but I'm going to, the original plan of the script was, and the original, I guess the story, which I never read the source material, is that Joker dies. But he was talking about a process, and he said Kubrick thought that the real thing would be that he saw his drill instructor get murdered.
Yeah.
He saw his best friend get murdered. He had all these scars. What's more of a burden to carry, being killed there or to live a life with those memories?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but at the end, when they're marching along, these guys who are just young men.
Yeah.
And they start singing the Mickey Mouse theme, and he's like, "We've been through a world of S's," he said,
mm-hmm.
"but we are alive. We're alive."
Yep. But and before that, the other scar he has to carry is what he does to the girl. He's got to,
and he has to.
And he volunteers to do it pretty much so. But it's he's got to carry that too.
If you guys just go to IMDb and look up Full Metal Jacket, and there's a whole bunch of different cool little trivia tidbits about the movie. And what I just found out was that Joker, his actual name, his on his shirt in Paris Island reveals his real name, which is J.T. Davis, and that is a deliberate reference to specialist James T. Davis, who was first officially recognized as the first U.S. casualty in Vietnam in 1961.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so I do that quite often when, we're going to talk to somebody or just, I want to find some stuff out about a movie that I love. IMDb has just a wealth of really, really cool tidbits and then some goofs, right?
And I understand that the movie also meddled in taekwondo in
the Olympics. Yeah.
So when Joker is on first watch, right, he's using, and this is a movie goof, he's using a 1980s Maglite brand flashlight.
Oh, okay, a little continuity thing.
Yeah, that's atypical of a Kubrick film because he went to extraordinary lengths to make sure that stuff was what was there. But I mean,
notices? Wait a second, that flashlight didn't come out until 1980.
Yeah, something glaring like that. But I mean,
there's one in. I'm sorry to interrupt, Steve. Yeah. In speaking of another great war film, Saving Private Ryan, that when Tom Sizemore character Mike, he's taking the they first land, he scoops the of the dirt into a can, and one says Africa, and one says Italy, and one says France, that they point out that it was drawn in Sharpie, and Sharpies were not invented until blah, blah, blah.
In Gladiator, when the emperor pulls up in a Prius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
come on. It's like, they didn't start doing hybrid vehicles until
I mean, there were still combustion engines at that time.
Yeah. So I own the movie on, not on Blu-ray because it just came out, but I have it on DVD, and I think I might watch it with my son. He is 13, and I definitely watched that when I was his age.
Yeah. Well,
there are a couple of scenes that are you know, I may ask him to turn away, but...
Well, this is 4K. This is also, so if you have, you know, the resolution and the scenes, especially at night with the fire and the sniper sequence, which is the way the fire is caught and everything, and the... There's nobody, no filmmaker like Kubrick.
Visually, he's unbelievable. Some of the films are a little bit too quirky for me personally, but but you can't deny the cinematography and the framing is just unbelievable.
That's his camera ability. Mm-hmm. So like not. Again, you're talking about, I love all the stuff, and I know, but it's not everybody's cup of tea, but like mm-hmm. Barry Lyndon, which is a period piece. Every scene in that movie could be a photograph hanging in a museum. That's how beautiful it is. But this in particular is a visceral, emotional masterpiece.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He had mentioned Linda Fiorentino.
Yeah.
I heard she's hard to work with.
Yes. So I got a text from a listener who said that he is distantly related to her. And so I texted this person back asking if we could maybe chat with her through this relation. And this listener wrote back saying, probably not, because they had a falling out. Apparently she's a real pain in the ass. The problem started with her mother before she passed away. And so maybe that's one of these people we end up not wanting to talk to.
I think Kevin Smith had a tough time with her.
But what if we actually strike up a friendship and she buys us a fire truck?
That'd be nice.
Whoa! I mean, things happen.
Possibilities are endless.
Fire truck!
Case, I think you should show Seamus. You know, I should show it to my guys. I don't know if they dig it or not, but it's such a badass movie.
The scene where they make the jump to Vietnam and Surfing Bird is the song that you hear, and they're moving slowly. And they're moving slowly behind. They're having the protection of the tank that's rolling in front of them, and they're going into an urban setting, and you know the one guy strafes a whole bunch of the enemy running, and he look on his face is like, I did it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cowboy ever do much after the?
Oh yeah,
besides that?
Yeah.
What else?
Wait! I'm thinking. I think
a lot of character work.
Wait! Hang on, I gotta find out who Cowboy
he was. He starred in Norma Rae. He played Norma Rae
because the guy who was Animal Mother. He's been in tons of stuff, but a few of the guys.
That's Adam Baldwin. Cowboy, I feel like I've seen in a bunch of other things. Arliss Howard is that guy's name. Mm-hmm. Lost World, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, he's the crappy company executive who sends them in the second time, who's behind trying to secure these animals.
Okay.
He usually ends up playing the dick, actually.
Okay.
And he's such a likable guy in this.
What?
He was a medium, you know, that show with Patricia Arquette.
Yes.
You guys recall that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, that was
great.
Yeah, that was an excellent conversation.
I love it when actors like talking about great pieces of work that they've been a part of.
Yeah, sometimes it's like pulling teeth, man. Like, to coin somebody who was in this movie, we had Vincent D'Onofrio on one time to talk about, was Law and Order or whatever show he was on, one of those shows, and he just did not want to be talking about it.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, you know, it's something that a lot of people love and derive pleasure from, you know, from these works of art. And so maybe they're just tired of answering those questions. But
we think when Richard Roundtree came in here, I'm a massive fan of the black cinema of Shaft and all those classic movies. And he came in and he almost seemed a little reticent to talk about it. Then when we were off air and just hanging out, he just loved talking about it. I'm like,
what do you think they were actually beating up Private Pile with? I mean, it looked like it was supposed to be soap and towels.
They might add sponges or something in there. They just filled out the size and
fluffernutters.
Fluffernutters are pretty soft.
You have to eat them afterwards.
Yeah. Apparently, though, they had to do that scene like 10 times.
Really? So,
yeah.
Oh, it's a I would imagine scene, they, because, you know, you can. You can have a realistic-looking bat, as we learned from the Three Stooges movie.
Yes.
And it looks like you're really hitting them in the head with it. But, yeah, they probably had, like, sponges or something in it. All right. Interesting conversation. Very cool movie. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second and some bizarre file stories. Oh, wait. You, my friend. So stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Just realized I haven't even mentioned today. It's the final day for the flash sale of the Kathy Romano's Fall Activities T-shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt, by the way. So usually it's till like noon today. I don't know.
Yeah, so get it before noon.
Yeah,
get it now.
You can go to the Rock Shop, and it's also the last day for the what's that? 3?
Ah.
Oh, 3 o'clock is when you can order till. All right, and also the Preston and Steve shower beer can holder with built-in Bluetooth speaker.
Get it.
So it's a flash sale, and you just go to the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Makes a great gift for dads and grads.
I think it's in aisle 2, so there's a couple different areas that you can shop. I don't know. One is for certain kind of items, and one is for another. I don't remember. I think aisle 1 might be things that are permanently on sale, and then aisle 2 are the
flash sale. Oh, all right, like specialty items.
I think it's like that. All right. Yep. So anyhow, today's last day for both of those. So if you want to grab them, get them now. We're going to do Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by AutoPartsExpert.com for hard-to-find brand-name parts in stock and in our area. You can order your parts and pick them up in about 30 minutes. AutoPartsExpert.com. Police say an Edmond, Oklahoma woman, was busted for driving while high on marijuana, and she kept her good time going after being pulled over. An officer tried to pull over Megan Gaddis Thursday night because she was allegedly driving too slowly and repeatedly switching lanes. But Gaddis had sped up and ran a red light. She flashed the officer a peace sign. Police ended up using stop sticks to stop her joyride, and she was arrested in the parking lot, and police cam footage shows Gaddis got out and did a little dancing before she was taken into custody. So she must have been pretty happy about something. She's accused of eluding the police and driving under the influence. Only one person suffered injuries after a motorhome exploded Sunday morning in Missouri. Fire protection responded to the explosion in a forest. Fire officials said that one person suffered first degree and second degree burns and was flown to the hospital.
I can fix it.
Investigators say the explosion happened after a propane leak.
Oh, man.
The victim lit a stove, and then the explosion occurred.
You always live in fear of that stuff.
Yeah, it caused significant damage to the motorhome and some damage to nearby vehicles as well. You also hear of these things happening every now and then. A 17-year-old girl faked a brain tumor to found a charity she used to con pop stars out of hundreds of thousands of dollars and make her and fund her luxury trips to Disneyland. Megan Bari founded Believe in Magic to help other terminally ill children in 2012 before she died in 2018 at age 23. But it wasn't of the brain tumor. It was something completely different.
What did she die of? Embarrassment?
Heart failure related to her fatty liver.
Oh, my God. So from living the high life, right?
I think it might have been.
Who knows? But it was a con job.
Yeah, when she first appealed for money to travel to the U.S. for treatment on her tumor, doctors were concerned about her frequent visits to the hospital, which did not find anything seriously wrong, and her use of powerful opiates.
Do you think it was sort of fate that she ended up that way?
Believe in Karma. Magic, backed by One Direction, the band, as well as Taylor Swift, Michael Bublé, and Ed Sheeran, was dissolved last week after a charity commission investigation found that sums of nearly $1 million were missing in their books. And an inquest recorded Ms. Bari's death as caused by heart failure related to her fatty liver, with no mention of a brain tumor on her medical records. Parents of other children with cancer became concerned about her accounts of her illness and started investigating before her death. Joanne Ashcroft from Wigan, wherever that is, who met her at a charity event for sick children with her son Corey, noticed fundraising appeals for the treatment lacked details. She said, "I spoke to other oncology parents, close to me who felt the same. Our own children have been through the most horrific diseases and treatments imaginable. There was just something in the words that didn't ring true. They hired a private investigator who found Ms. Bari had been staying at Walt Disney World, and she had traveled there on a cruise line for planned treatments. Investigators found cash withdrawals of $300,000 had been made the year in November 2015, and another over $300,000 here and there. They kept finding all these things wrong.
Right, right.
And her social media post had said in 2015 that her tumor had grown tentacles, which wrapped around the brain's blood supply, making surgery too dangerous. But it turned out to be not true at all. A total scam. Yeah, messed up. All right, and then we'll do, let's see. We got time for a couple more here. Let's go with this one. A man who married his own mother-in-law.
Oh!
Says he has no regrets despite the unusual start to the relationship.
I don't regret.
Clive Blunden was actually arrested when he first tried to marry Brenda in 1997, who was before that his mother-in-law. And despite Brenda admitting she wasn't so keen when she first met him, more than two decades on, the unusual couple say they have no regrets.
I thought he was a loser.
People thought that we wouldn't last, but we're stronger than ever, said Clive, who's 65. We're together 24/7, and there's a magic to it. Brenda, who is 77, added that Clive is a gentleman, and he looks after me. I can get a bit argumentative, but he quietens me down.
How old is Clive?
Clive is 65.
Oh, well, they're in the
She's
ballpark.
She's 77. But
wait a second. Okay, what? So she was the mother-in-law?
His wife must have been younger,
much
younger than him. But this story doesn't say anything about the wife, the daughter.
Yeah.
Or anything, which is kind of interesting.
She's missing out on that keeper.
But I was not. You don't really hear of people marrying their mother-in-law.
No, often. It's usually contentious, isn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, he was arrested shortly after they got after they registered to get married. He was told that there was a lawful impediment to marrying his mother-in-law, and warned that he could be jailed for up to 7 years if they went ahead with it.
I don't care.
So he went about getting the law changed.
You can't fight love.
It was
my God. We're looking at their pictures.
10 years before a European court ruled a ban on in-laws marrying was a violation of human rights. So love found a way, Steve.
Looks like the Lucas Creature Shop.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. A new lawsuit claims a man's Starbucks order left him disfigured. Tommy Pulyev was at a Starbucks when he says the lid on his hot tea came loose, and the drink spilled over his hands, stomach, thighs, and genitals. And it had fell on the windowsill and then came over on him, so he got showered with it. Third-degree burns on his fingers, second- and third-degree burns on his pelvic area. Lawsuit says the then 22-year-old spent 11 days in the burn unit. His injuries were so severe that intimacy is now painful and awkward. It's like Kathy.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's true.
And he can no longer play the piano.
With his penis?
No, his fingers were burned in it, too. His lawyer said the nerves have grown back and healed, and he learned to walk again. Because
a coffee spill?
Yeah, because hot tea, yeah.
Oh.
Because that took a while to learn how to walk again, and those comprehensive injuries around the whole section of your body. The suit alleges negligence and product liability by Starbucks and Pactiv Packaging, which provides the cups and lids. So
huh.
You wouldn't think that, you know, just a cup of,
yes.
of essentially boiling water thrown on you that quickly can do that much damage, but I guess it can really can rip you apart. We're looking at a picture of this guy. Come on, man. I know he's in pain, but that looks like he's faking it, right?
Let me take a look.
Yeah. What happened to the photo?
There's a news story. Well, it's a video, but you'll see. Yeah, there you go, Steve. It's up on the big screen.
Really?
Oh, man.
Oh, it hurts so much.
I can't perform sexually.
You can take the picture now?
But he did get third-degree burns, so it's permanent scarring, so it's right. Legit.
I don't know.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in a bizarre file for you. Okay, one more time. Actually, I'll do it probably again after this, but... Thursday morning, giveaway $1,000, and it is with the Fox 29 show, I Can See Your Voice. It's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. It comes on after The Masked Singer, and there are three questions you're going to have to answer Thursday morning. We're giving you the questions one day at a time. Gave one yesterday, one today, one tomorrow. Today's question is, which singer brags about being in a punk band? So write that down, note the answer, jot that down. And if you have all three of them tomorrow and you're our designated caller to give it to us, you win $1,000.
Not a lot of work for a grand.
No. It's a brand new show. It asks the question, can you guess if someone can sing without hearing their voice?
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, me too. Finally, it's coming to fruition. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll have the lesson question trash and music news when we return.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You know what? We should do a side-by-side photo. Maybe I'll see if Marissa can do this. Of Bill Weston and Matthew Modine, because we had Matthew Modine on earlier, and while we were in the middle of the interview, Nick pulled up a picture of him on his own Instagram account, and I'm like, that looks like Bill.
Yeah.
It looks, Kathy, did you see the picture?
Yeah.
It looks a lot like Bill, does it not?
It does, yeah.
Even Bill agrees. Bill is in here.
I wonder how much Matthew Modine gets that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the time.
You look Bill? Like Bill? You look like Bill Weston. Wow.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, all right. True.
Well, we have today's lesson question to ask of you, and as a prize to give away, we have a $60 Metro Diner gift card. So the question we are going to go with is, what kind of weapon rack would Casey feature in his reality TV show called Bros Before Homes? 215-263-WMMR. So what kind of weapon rack would be featured in Casey's reality TV show, Bros Before Homes? He and Chuck D'Amico are going to start that. Let's see if you know the answer, and we'll do the trash while you are calling us.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by AutoPartsExpert.com for hard-to-find brand-name parts in stock and in our area. You can order your parts and pick them up in about 30 minutes. AutoPartsExpert.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kourtney Kardashian taking to Instagram to share her five rules of raising her three children. Kourtney wrote, quote, nanny, 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 nanny. Many speculating that lyrics in Miley Cyrus's new song, she says she could not pretend anymore, are actually a diss on her ex-husband, Liam Hemsworth. Astute Cyrus fans also point to the following lyric, which goes, I never loved Liam Hemsworth and he has a small penis.
No. Oh, my God.
And finally, Cindy Crawford's daughter, Kaya Gerber, is reportedly heartbroken over the breakup of her relationship with Cara Delevingne. Friends say Kaya often wakes up after dreaming of making love to Cara, only to find herself alone in bed with her tongue out. And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. To the phones we go. Let's see if somebody knows the answer to today's lesson question. What type of weapon rack would be featured in Casey's reality TV show, Bros Before Homes? And I'll go to Dean and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Dean.
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right, buddy. What kind of weapon rack are we talking about?
A bazooka rack.
Bazooka rack. You got it, Dean. Hang on. We're going to give you a $60 Metro Diner gift card celebrating National Chicken Month right this September.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
The chicken experts.
This is great news.
The chicken experts at your neighborhood Metro Diner have added meaty boneless and traditional wings to their menus.
I'm in heaven.
Alongside their last game day packs that will feed the whole squad this sports season. Available for takeout or delivery, you can order online at MetroDiner.com. Here we go, music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Let's do it! I only have three stories for you today. We'll start with Marilyn Manson. Marilyn gave up drinking absinthe after being seriously injured in 2017 when a giant pair of pistols from the stage that was part of the set fell on him during a show at New York's Hammerstein Ballroom.
I remember that incident. So yeah. He believes that absinthe led to that. Well,
no. So, despite so having how, surgery, he
so
avoided,
what's the connection?
He avoided taking painkillers.
Oh.
And gave up absinthe. So
because he would have normally medicated himself with that. But he said he did it because it clouds the frontal lobe.
Yes, that's what absinthe does.
He said a lot of people find absinthe to be artistically enhancing, but it also bends your brain a bit, sometimes in a bad way. When you are convinced that you're doing what you're doing is really great, when it's just the drug telling you that. That's what I realized a while back.
Have you ever tried it before, absinthe?
Not real absinthe, I don't think so.
I've tried, I can't believe it's not absinthe.
I tasted some that somebody told me was absinthe, and it tasted kind of unappealing, and I'm like, eh, I'm not getting anything.
So is there if there's a taste to it, what is the taste like?
Have you tried it?
Is it? Yes?
It's disgusting. Like what?
Bark. It's like drinking dirt.
Minty.
If you see it in the movie, like in Eurotrip, it looks like it's minty or green or whatever, but the actual absinthe is made from wormwood, I think.
It's harsh.
Yeah, it's not good.
I saw people do it before or drink it, and I mean, all of them within, I'd say, a half an hour were sleeping on the couch.
Okay. Like Jägermeister back in the day, the word was it was illegal in the United States. I mean, it was, and that's why I'm like, well, I have to try some of that, you know, and then I went on a big Jäger kick, and that became my drink of choice.
Right.
Now it tastes kind of disgusting to
it's
me.
It's gross. Huh.
Yeah, so.
But the absinthe, they were heating it up.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know if that's... So a friend of ours...
Maybe that's the case, because if you ever saw Bram Stoker's Dracula, they're having it, and I believe it's warmed up.
Okay.
Yeah.
A friend of ours brought it home from Germany. This was years ago, and so everybody wanted to taste it, and I was like, yeah, no thanks.
I always had the impression it was made you sort of trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the rumor, so...
Well, I'm telling you, it was so bizarre to see the three people that took the shot or whatever...
Just pass out?
They were almost like they had to like hang out together. It was like a drug. They were together on it, and then all of a sudden they were sleeping.
Okay.
For those of you who missed the thrill of an opium den, it's probably the best.
our former custodian, Jose, drank absinthe with Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had him on his tour bus, and he did a shot of absinthe with him and Dita Von Teese.
Dita Von Teese, yes, absolutely. Well. What did he? He came in. What were they saying? It's your birthday? What was it? How did that exchange go?
So they made him dance.
It's your birthday.
And then they're like, go, Jose. And then they're like, it's your birthday. And he goes, May 27th.
Yeah. This is Marilyn Manson telling him, to, you know, it's your birthday. And so Marilyn loved him.
He loved him to death.
They were talking about Chupacabra.
The whole deal.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. We have to find that.
That'd be great.
You know what? PrestonSteveRock.com. We should look that up and see if Dan and the gang have that. After leaving the hospital post-surgery, Manson said he also left the painkillers behind. He said, being that I had taken them in the past, which increased it to recreational use, I didn't want to fall prey to that. So I just didn't do it.
And he's now doing commercials for Peloton. So he's completely changed his lifestyle.
Manson released his We Are Chaos album earlier this month. A new 10-song project is a follow-up to his 2017 Heaven Upside Down album. Readers of UltimateGuitar.com rated their favorite solo Ozzy Osbourne tracks over the past 40 years. Not surprisingly, 7 of the songs came from his 1980 debut, Blizzard of Oz, and 4 from his 1981 follow-up, Diary of a Madman. So remember, this is Guitar, UltimateGuitar.com, so these are guitar players that are pointing out their favorites. Number 1 is Mr. Crowley, which is interesting, right? Then you have Crazy Train, Bark at the Moon. I love the solos in Bark at the Moon. No More Tears, Diary of a Madman. Number 6 is Shot in the Dark. 7 is Mama, I'm Coming Home. 8 is Over the Mountain. 9, Flying High Again. That's one of my favorite Ozzy tunes. And number 10 is I Don't Know. There's a lot of great music in there. And then one last story. In Rolling Stone's ongoing video series, The First Time, Bruce Springsteen gives a personal look into some of the most life-changing musical experiences. In the clip, the boss talks about the first time he heard the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Hank Williams, and punk, among other things. But I liked this story. Bruce recalled back in 1980, the first night he ever heard the crowd sing the first verse of Hungry Heart back to him. A long-standing tradition at every show that it's performed at now, but at the time he remembers the first time it happened.
Oh, really?
He said it was one of the most awful-sounding places I've ever been in, and he doesn't indicate what the venue was. He said, we did a sound check, and it sounded, he said, it didn't even sound bad. It wasn't even good enough to sound bad. That's how bad it was. And so I figured this is going to be nothing but a disaster. But that night, we kick in a Hungry Heart, and the entire audience sang it back, and it ended up being an incredible show. And from that point on, he said, this is way pre-internet. People sang that show, that song, every single night.
What's the best sing-back song in rock?
The best version, or I should say not the best, my favorite version is Tom Petty and Breakdown.
Oh, okay.
When the crowd just starts singing it, and they sing the first half of the song.
And it's spot on.
It blew my mind. Favorite live versions.
When I saw it, like, and they do, we were at, what was it, whatever iteration of it was, if it was the Tweeter or Susquehanna, whatever, you know.
The shed outdoors, the place in Jersey.
Yeah. So whatever it was at that time, we were with a whole bunch of people. The median age, I guess, of the crowd, very young, very young. And I'm thinking, for Tom Petty, I'm okay. Like, they're not going to know this. Yeah. And they sang it verbatim at that part. And my wife and I, oh man, this is awesome.
Yeah,
they were loving it.
Yeah,
you're gonna put me out of a job.
Yeah, I love it. And the crowd just goes insane. Do you guys have any that come to mind?
Better Man has become that for Pearl Jam. It's a sing-along at this point, and it's any song that where the audience sings back, though, I get chills.
It's great.
Yeah.
So they'll sing it from the very opening word?
Eddie will play solo guitar a little bit, and then the entire audience sings along.
Okay. Nice.
They're good. That's always a good moment. Yeah. Sometimes, if the crowd is off, it can suck. But for the most part, it's always cool.
Yep. All right, and that is what I have. I think it's going to be a little while before the... Oh, wait, no, it's going to kick in just a second here. It's got about maybe 5 more seconds. And...
10 more seconds.
Is it 10 more seconds?
What? All right, well, time is money.
Ah, forget it.
Oh, no!
Okay.
It's all right if you love me.
I think they think it's going to end there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we got to keep singing. And they take it.
Nobody told me.
It's great. Got some people singing the backup part.
Oh, that was great!
It's cool.
You don't quite get that during a Zoom concert,
so. But next time, we got to hear the "Put Me Out of Job" line. He lets it breathe.
Put me out of a job.
That's my favorite. All right, and that is all in a music and news this morning. Let us take a break. We will return with the letter of the day. We will give away a free tattoo. Uh-huh. If you have not texted yet, tattoo at WMMR.com. Do it now. Last chance to do it because we're going to give this away $350 gift certificate from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing at 1729 South Street in Philly. And we'll also tell you how you can win $1,000 on Thursday morning. You will need the information. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We have reached the end of our broadcast day. I have some thank yous and things like that to do, but I want to give away something for you.
Oh!
It's Tattoos Day, don't you know? We have people texting in all morning long, so I'm going to announce the winner of Tattoos Day right now, if you don't mind. A little musical accompaniment.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
That's a good call.
Congratulations to Cassandra DeMarco in Marlton, New Jersey. And Cassandra has gotten herself $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing.
I like the name Cassandra.
I do, too. I've always liked that. It's presented by, well, already said them, Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. For artwork samples, visit floatingworldtattoos.com. Or you can check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. So,
and who's providing these tattoos, Preston?
Floating World. Yes. I've seen some samples of work. Great stuff, man. Excellent tattoo artwork. So thank you. Brent Porsche is made into the studio.
Good morning. Doing well. How are you doing?
Wonderful,
excellent.
Man.
Excellent. Happy to see you.
We need to do the letter, so let's dive right in.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter A, as an angry young man.
We have 10 vinyl albums. I just did a drum cover there. Yeah. 10 vinyl albums, including recent releases from Pearl Jam, Metallica, and a signed copy of The Struts, Young and Dangerous, in honor of Record Store Day. And this year, Record Store Day is being celebrated properly distanced through a series of Record Store Day drops. Saturday is the second of the three designated dates. You can support your local record store this Saturday. We will give that away on Friday. By the way, last time I had mentioned my drum covers in my YouTube page, I wanted to get to 2,000 subscribers. I have almost 20. I have over 2,300 now.
2,300.
So they did.
You're
it.
Bigger than PewDiePie.
Now I want 3,000. I am bigger than PewDiePie, aren't I? He's only got like
a couple million.
2,200. No. So if you're interested in seeing my drum videos, I just chopped together a new one. I won't release it for a few more days, but
you tease, but you update your content, which is critical to to keeping your subscribers happy.
I want to keep them happy. So you can search Preston Elliott on YouTube and you'll find my channel, and then you can subscribe. Thank you very much if you do that.
May I mention something?
You
quickly,
may,
by the
of
way?
Course, please.
The Max Fund thing that's going on with Arm & Hammer, they're matching, they have a donation program. I just want to throw this in here because we're getting a lot of traction. Basically, they've offered up $5,000 as a match if we can raise $5,000 for Max Fund. This is Arm & Hammer. Of course, they make the greatest kitty litter in the world. We use it. We use a lot of it. The money raised is going to go directly to fund TNR, the voucher program with Forgotten Cats. This helps community cats in the Philadelphia area. Max Fund, my wife's charity, is behind this. And Arm & Hammer is committed to helping cats find caring pet parents to animal shelters. You can learn more at felinegenerous.com. We love them to death. You can find all the information on Preston and Steve or maxfund.com. But if you have a couple extra bucks and you can donate, obviously there's a lot of charities out there. We'd love to have you do it. And then they'll match that and we'll get 10 grand for the kitties in the area. So
wonderful.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Our pleasure. And, oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
We now have a side-by-side photo.
What?
Holy crap.
Bill, I told you. Of Bill Weston and Matthew Modine.
It's
how
Bill's twin.
Close are they in appearance?
That's pretty close.
Isn't that wild?
Can we get the blue lettering superimposed on Bill's shirt?
I don't know. I think we've already posted this, so it's already on our Instagram account.
Kudos to Bill for wanting to really sell it.
There needs to be a ancestry test done, like a DNA test.
They may have been separated at birth.
Seriously.
Should we also go for full frontal nudity?
Well, before Marissa's like, all right, we're going to take a picture. And Bill goes, oh, I'm going to take my shirt off.
Yeah.
Because he had an overshirt on and he had a white undershirt underneath. And I was like, oh, my God, Bill's going to take his shirt off for this photo.
Want to make sure you can see my balls.
Yeah.
You got to see this picture. Go to our Instagram account. That's uncanny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty damn close.
It's pretty close. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I want to thank Matthew Modine for being on the show.
Yeah.
Full Metal Jacket is available now on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray combo pack. And he was such a super nice guy. Also, thank you to Jim Curtin.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Union head coach. They are playing tomorrow night against Cincinnati. They're currently in second place in the Eastern Conference. He's set out of like 26 teams, second place. They're doing great.
That is
winningest
excellent.
Team in Philadelphia right now. Brett Porsche, what's up on the show?
On the show today, we're celebrating some birthdays. Today's Joan Jett's birthday. You mentioned that earlier, so we're going to be doing a block. It's also David Coverdale's birthday, so we're going to be playing some live stuff and some covers. And it's the 22nd anniversary of Goo Goo Dolls' Dizzy Up the Girl, so we're going to be playing selections from that.
Nice.
It's a great album.
And it's Tuesday. Double shots all damn day.
Ooh. Love it, man. Brent's got you covered, man. Let's see. Real quick reminder, giving away $1,000 on Thursday. The question that you need to be able to answer, there's three of them all together. Today's question. For the show, I can see your voice. Which singer brags about being in a punk band? So I've explained it 1,000 times a day. And I'm
you don't know now. That's enough.
So there you go. I want to thank our sponsors. The President Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets. Fresh food, local flavors. Also, Dunkin', the official coffee of the President Steve Show. And Meineke doing car care right. Tomorrow morning, it's Wednesday, so we go live on Fox Good Day. We'll have a secret text word, and we'll have plenty of things to talk about. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Okay, stop calling me vagina face. Got it? My name happens to be Bob, and I am a human being.
Next message.
Hey, jabronis. I'm still laughing at something you guys said. If you want to terrify your boss or your IT department at work, Google support company. Yes, I'm sick. Oh, jeez.
Next message.
You know what I love? Summer wind. It's warm. It's nice. Beach. Anything with summer. You know what I hate? When I wake up and it's 40 degrees out. You, winter. You're not even here yet. You're pissing me off.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.